Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. On today's Part of My Take, we have a twofer for the people. Our good friend Jimmy Tatro back on the show. He's got a new movie out, The Machine, with Burt Kreischer out this weekend. We also have our also good friend, Daniel Ricciardo. We taped it in Miami. Awesome dude.
Good accent.
Great accent. Great to meet him in person. Celtics, Heat, Game 4. The Los Angeles Lakers got swept. Hot seat, cool thrown in some great FAQs. Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, let's go.
Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. Today is Wednesday, May 24th, and the Boston Celtics are off the floor. They're off the mat. They have won a game in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is 3-1. And also, just a heads up to all AWLs, our wonderful producer, Henry Lockwood, has not slept in 2 days, and he is borderline drunk on the lack of sleep, and we're loving it. Hank, I'll let you go first because you're on cloud nine.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel excited. You know, I was obviously procrastinated my packing, so I was doing all of that last night because the movers were coming this morning. Was finished at 3, but then I just couldn't fall asleep, and then I was worried about falling asleep at like 5 or 6 and missing just falling asleep through the alarm and having, you know, people knocking down my door.
That happens.
I stayed up, haven't slept. I was really tired. I was really like going through the motions, and then the adrenaline of that win, I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing. Max is jealous. PFT's mad for no reason.
I'm not mad for no reason.
PFT has a reason.
I've got a reason to be mad.
Because you're the biggest sucker in the planet of the history of gambling. Like, I can't feel bad for you for making those bets and losing. Like, you deserve to lose that bet.
No, listen. You should not feel bad about me losing. I agree with that 100%. In fact, if I lose this bet, people should relish in not feeling bad for me.
PFT bet $12,000 to win, like, 106?
No. All right, Hank, math has never been your strong suit. You're not a world-renowned, educated person. $10,000 to win $1,100. It's an 11% investment.
Panthers and Heat to win their...
Both up 3-0.
Both up 3-0. Well, I'm not...
They were 3-1. At the time.
Now they're up 3-1. I'm not worried. In fact, Hank, I'm glad this happened, and I'll tell you why. Because what we're getting right now with Hank is pure, 100% uncut delirium from Hank.
Yes.
We're getting uncut gems? We're getting Hank at his most cocky because he won one game. You're down 3-1 in the series. And... now you have hope. Not only hope that your Celtics will win, you have hope that you'll be able to golf. And there's nothing I would like more and the listeners would like more than to see that hope get absolutely fucking crushed out of your body on Thursday night.
He does have hope.
I love that you've got hope right now.
Look
Hank.
At his
I love
eyes.
It. Look at those eyes. I love those eyes because they're full of hope, wonder, infinite possibilities, infinite amounts of golf in the month of June. And it's about to be taken away from you on Thursday.
And
I'm so glad that you're happy right
deep
now.
Deep down.
But you know that's not true.
Deep down.
You're going to have to sweat that bet.
You want
to
have a whisper off?
Deep,
Hank, it's deep, fucking true, you piece of shit.
Deep down, Hank
just
does think.
Just because you're born in Boston doesn't mean that you're a fucking winner at everything.
The Celtics are significantly better than the Heat.
They're the more talented team. Game three was a complete fluke. But, again, water always finds its level. Someone's going to have to win a 3-0 series in the NBA eventually. It was exactly reminiscent of the Yankees and Red Sox game three. They lost like 19-8, got absolutely blown out. I was at that game. I actually.
Are you just doing a Dave Portnoy recap video?
Was he there too?
Yeah, he's just been saying this nonstop the last 3 days.
Well, it's true. I was thinking about it. I remember going to that game and we had like our seats were back and we stayed and we were like, I remember Hideki Matsui had home run and we were standing like behind home plate because everyone left. And it was like the season's over. So much promise, so much hope, so much talent. They're blowing it. They're choking it. They came back. They won. They shocked the world. First team to ever do it. Why not us, Jeter?
It is fitting that this started right in A-Rod's face, too.
And Jeter.
And Jeter.
Yeah, both of them. Courtside.
Jake almost creamed his Dockers when they showed Jeter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
did,
a fact.
Jake did come.
So, Hank, in terms of the game, credit to the Celtics because halftime, it looked like it was going to go the same way. It would look like the Heat were... You know, the game started, the Celtics came out to a lead, then the Heat started playing well. They had like a 10-point lead at one point. It felt like the Heat were going to just make the Celtics quit, and the absolute reverse happened in the third quarter. They killed them, I think they scored 38 points. Tatum got caught fire, and yeah, I mean, listen, back to Boston, game five. Are you saying that that one's a guaranteed win?
You got to win game five.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a must-win?
Yeah.
You know if you lose, you're out, right?
The fact that you paused on that, it really shows the Lex.
Well, no, I'm just trying to – I was trying to think. I'm only focused on myself.
Hank honestly feels like this
but
one
But asked you a question about the Celtics.
The way that Hank's acting
– I was thinking about myself, and it's like, don't think about yourself. Think about the team.
You would think that Hank just won the series tonight, the way that he's acting right now. You're down 3-1.
Who's actually, up 3-1?
It's perfectly set up for a gentleman sweep. The true gentleman sweep, three games, you let the other team win one, and then you knock him out.
I'm going to do something I don't really do. Sorry, Billy. Billy was rooting for the fucking Heat tonight. Scumbag.
Well, Billy was rooting for less work. He found out halfway through the first quarter. He's like, wait, if the Heat win this game, we don't have to record late on Thursday? And we're like, yeah. And then he put on a Heat shirt and was going nuts.
I'm going to do something that I don't often do, and I'm going to thank you, PFT.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you because you were the one that made the golf bet. And when the Celtics were down 3-0, instead of doom and gloom, we're down 3-0, there's no way to win this series. I had to will myself to convince.
You listen back to Monday's show?
I had to convince myself, right, Monday's show ended, and then the wheels started turning.
Yeah.
And I was looking at not golfing for a month, and I had to convince myself that they could win two games. And once I did that, I realized they can win four games, and that's where I'm at right now. I don't think it would have happened if it wasn't for the bet, because it's like, winning four games is a big thing to overcome. And it's like they just need to win two. And if they win two, they're winning four. And everyone in this room knows
this. I actually agree with Hank. This is a must win for the Heat. Game five, you can't let them win because not only will Hank get off the golf bet, which nobody wants except for Hank and maybe some groundskeepers in the greater Chicagoland area that would make a fortune off Hank this summer. But also, I know for a fact that if it's 3-2, they're going to win four, and I'm going to lose my bet.
The pressure goes back on the Heat.
Hank's going to doink me. We're going to get doinked again.
Hank and I agreed. The Celtics are going to be heavily favored in game five. They should take care of business at home on paper. And then, in my eyes, game six becomes game seven. Because if it's 3-3 going back to Boston, the Celtics should win the game. Again, I'm wrong a lot. I've been wrong plenty of times before on the show making picks. Yeah. So, but logistically, that's where my head's at.
Why are you pointing?
You were 5.5. You were...
Why, I said 6.5 or 6.
I said 7.5. It's 8.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Celtics should take care of business. Game
I don't
six,
like you pointing at me.
In my mind, game six could be game seven.
Yeah. So, Jake, does that make game five game six?
Yeah.
So that made game four a must win for the Heat.
Well, not necessarily. Game six is the must win, which
is game five.
Max is. We also have Max, who's very upset that Hank found his mojo.
Yeah,
Max is back. A scumbag though, because he likes to be. I'm rooting for you, Hank. I'm rooting for you, Hank. And then like you hear him be like,
I was at no point were any of my I'm rooting for you, Hank's genuine. Like zero.
Yeah, and I'm
at no
like,
point.
Like it's at not like no I was point. Pretending. Like I obviously I'm not rooting for the Celtics. Why the fuck would I be rooting for
did
the Celtics?
Did you bet on them last game?
Did I? Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
See,
that's true.
This is what I love how cocky Hank is right now. This is perfect.
Although I'm just asking questions.
That was a good impression of Max that you just did. Sound like a dying alien in a movie.
No, we're getting pure, unfiltered, straight from the source, Henry Lockwood right now. There's no restrictor plate on his brain.
It's the same, you know, it goes back to my packing. Like, you can do it ahead of time. You can be, you know, proactive and get it done at a normal time. Or you can wait to the last minute where you have no time left.
Celtics
no room for error. Yeah. Backs against the wall. Yeah. You get it done.
Yeah. Hank is a professional procrastinator.
Yes.
Celtics were like, we're not going to win a game until we absolutely have to.
Yep.
Right. And now they will.
Which
now,
is me. I'm not going to pack a box.
Jake.
Yeah. Until 9 o'clock the night before.
Hank, what did you say before the game? You said Mazzulla went down to Miami and he put two suits in the ceiling.
Yeah, he left the suit in the ceiling, so we'll come back and pick this up game six.
Yeah, yeah. And he doesn't wear a suit.
But, Hank, it would have to be seven games.
And also he doesn't wear a suit.
Nope. We'll come pick it back up game six.
So he's going to put the suit on game six.
Which he doesn't wear. Home. Again, he does not wear a suit.
And then and then wear it again game seven.
No, he's going to leave a suit in Miami so that he can have it after they win game six on the way back home.
To wear a suit, so he's going to wear a shirt on the sidelines and then a suit on the plane.
There might be a number of listeners who are lost in this entire conversation. Well, so are we. But what Hank was getting, he combined two great coach stories. One of which, Pat Riley, he left. He said we're only packing one suit for this trip because we're not going to need two. We're closing it out in one game. And then there was another instance a couple years ago where a coach left like $1,000 in the
ceiling.
That
was the Celtics.
And it's like, because we're going to come back here and we're going to get $1,000 back. But Mazzulla's taking it to the next level. He's leaving a suit behind.
In the ceiling.
In the van.
And he, again, does not wear a suit. Yeah. We should just keep reminding Hank that.
Jake, there are reports that Tyler Hero has been cleared for all basketball-related activities. Yeah. First of all, I don't know what basketball-related activities means. Secondly, is there any chance that he plays in this series?
Probably not. The target was always NBA Finals should they get there, so I would say no.
Where you got Billy.
How the fuck do you not play in this game if you're healthy?
Because he's not cleared to play in the basketball game, but he's cleared for basketball activities.
So that means like fucking play.
Well, I don't think he hasn't played in 3 weeks, and I know you think that you could just like roll out and play in an NBA game, but I think that probably has something to do
Billy
with it.
Could.
I just don't like the attitude.
Yeah.
Billy did not care about this series 2 hours ago.
No.
And then
a 15-minute
Zoom post-game Thursday changed his whole
thing.
Which
he doesn't have to be there for. Right?
I thought we were going to live stream it and record really late.
Billy was upset that he was going to have to work 4 days this week.
Mm-hmm. No, no. I just wanted to beat some traffic.
Got it.
So he wanted to leave.
You still
work.
Can do that.
Memorial Day traffic.
You can still do that.
I know. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
All right, Hank. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's good to see some fire from you.
You are temporarily back because you were the saddest sack the last few shows.
And it's going to be so great when you
Which,
lose.
Again, when you're down 3-0, I do truly, fundamentally, at
well,
my
it was
core,
when you were down 1-0
don't understand.
Too, and when you're down 3-2.
Well, we
blew
season.
The
when
first.
When you're down 3-2, you just never need to sleep again. This Hank is the best Hank.
Also, yeah, I think if the Celtics win game 5 but the Heat win game 6, Hank won't be as mad because the golf...
That's
back.
Not true, Jake. Oh, I care about the Celtics.
I think that's part of it.
I think that's a big part of it. No.
Well, then why don't we extend the bet? Make it if it's 3-2, then you don't golf.
And what am I getting in return for that?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm going to think about that deal, but I'll get back to you on if I think that makes sense
it's
or not.
It's not a bad strategy by PFT because you're not thinking straight. About anything.
But I think the straightest when I'm not thinking straight.
That's true.
Hank, you do have to not sleep.
No one's seeing the world.
I play a draw.
For some reason.
Starts left, comes right.
When you fall asleep at night, that's when the enemy takes over.
Yeah.
Sleep, Hank,
you
is bad
dumber,
for a wake
You get
Hank.
Dumb when you sleep.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that?
I mean, I've always wondered why I'm dumb in that. I mean, I sleep a lot. I like to sleep. I do love to sleep.
I always wondered why I'm dumb. It's an all-time quote. Just, that's the best, because you're basically trapped in your own brain where you're thinking about why you're dumb, but you can't figure out because you're dumb.
Yeah, it's because you turn your brain off every night for too long. Yeah. It takes a while to reboot again.
Yeah. Stop sleeping. Hank with no sleep. You haven't even yawned, which means you like broke through the wall.
No, it's the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like Brooks at the Panthers game.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations, Hank. Series is not, I don't, you can't say series is on, but it is on.
Oh, it's on.
It's on?
It's on.
Oh, it's on.
It's on.
Max?
Like, we've just forgotten everything that has happened in this series because of one quarter of basketball.
No, the
Celtics played well in the third quarter, and then the Heat were like, all right, we'll go win game five.
I mean, the Celtics
and
had,
like, the Heat,
the Celtics had leads in the fourth quarter before this.
Yeah.
Before
no,
tonight.
But like everything that has been said about this series is that the Heat are a different team. The Heat are resilient.
They are.
Like,
if we're talking quarters, Mac, fact or fiction, if the Celtics won the fourth quarter in games one and two, they'd be up 3-1.
Mm. Yes, but that is like difference between the Heat.
You can play, but that's both sides.
Now we got a true battle of the brains. I'm just going to sit back and watch these two.
The Heat are going to win.
Spoelstra needs to bring one suit to Boston.
One suit.
Which
one,
he also
doesn't
wear.
Yeah. One polo and pants.
Okay. Polo. Other series. The Los Angeles
Wait,
Lakers.
Pat Riley needs to go to Boston with one suit.
Yeah, one suit.
He will
suit.
Be there.
He brought one suit.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Lakers got swept. LeBron James. First half. Throwback performance, laid it all on the line, 31 points, ran out of gas, and the Nuggets were just better. They were the better team. They are going to the finals for the first time in franchise history. They went to the finals as an ABA team. First sweep in franchise history, 44 playoff series, first time they swept someone. And Jokic is averaging a triple-double, and he has 8 triple-doubles in these playoffs. I'm very happy for the Nuggets. They're just fucking really good.
Is that the all-time record, too, for triple-doubles? I think he tied Wilt.
Yeah, every record is Wilt.
Might have passed him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he did it only playing 4 games a series is kind of crazy.
Yep.
And then he...
It actually was like as far as sweeps goes, that was kind of a fun series.
Yeah, it was...
Like,
it,
every game was pretty close and fun.
The Lakers were not bad.
Right.
The Nuggets are just... They're a wagon right now.
And yeah.
I would like to admit that I was wrong. Nuggets in 6 is what I kept saying. I was wrong about not being right enough about the Nuggets.
Yeah.
So hand up, I didn't realize just how great they were. I knew they were great. Didn't know they were great like that.
And Jokic is just, he's a story that everyone should be rooting for. He's a guy who drafted in the second round. A Quesarito took his draft moment, was overweight, worked himself into an MVP shape, you know, like playoff, bad playoffs the last couple of years. Although they did go to the Western Conference Final in the bubble, which we don't count. But getting through that wall, getting to the NBA Finals, the Nuggets look like the best team in the playoffs. They've looked like the best team for long stretches of this season. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them.
Hank, have we made any progress? You're our point man at Taco Bell. Any progress on them bringing back the Quesarito if Jokic wins NBA Finals MVP?
I'll circle back.
Okay.
Get it for us.
Yeah, put a pin in that one. Link back with me. I would like
Please.
To see that. It's a delicious menu item. But yeah, I'm very impressed with the Nuggets. I grow more and more fond of them each and every day.
They're fun.
They're so fun to watch. Jamal Murray, by the way, he might have had a better series than Jokic did.
He was phenomenal, and he's getting to the point now where he's getting so good in the playoffs that people will forget that he videotaped himself getting his dick sucked.
I did forget that.
Yeah.
I tried very, very hard to forget
So that. He's getting to that point, though.
You have to do a lot in America
but
to make people forget a sex.
Yeah, thing. He's doing it. He's getting to that point.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Happy
for
to see him overcome that.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon was like, you know, Orlando or Aaron Gordon. Like he was awesome. He found something shooting threes.
KCP played well.
KCP is a very good player. Like
Jeff Green's still in the league.
Yeah, Jeff Green. KCP is one of those guys. Like, hey, maybe the Lakers. Probably should have. He won a title with the Lakers, half title.
Yeah, I'm also
not a real title.
I'm also addicted to Jokic horse content.
Yeah.
It's the best. Watching Jokic do the chariot behind the horse, which I almost feel worse for the horse when they're dragging Jokic's big ass behind them than when Jokic is riding them. But there's so many awesome pictures of Jokic standing next to a horse.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a miniature horse. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, Jokic's just an absolute monster.
He's just the biggest dude ever.
That's like what he does every offseason. He goes back to Serbia and just hangs out with horses. Yeah. That sounds like a pretty cool
And his
life.
Brothers.
Yeah.
We're badass.
His brothers throwing Michael Malone up in the air after the game.
Awesome.
That was amazing.
Also, Jokic getting, I don't know if you saw this moment, but when they were, it's always great whenever a team wins on the road and they get the emptied out arena and it's like, it feels like they've conquered like territory where it's like it's just them in there.
Yeah.
But Jokic was handed a shirt. He started to put it on and he immediately was like, this is like a large and I'm a triple XL. And the clip of him, like they're handing the trophy and he's trying to put it over his head and he just bailed on it.
He's like no, not going to work. I like we always talk about the silent arena after like a Steph Curry three on the road.
Yes.
There was a great moment right after the game was over when the Lakers announcer had to announce that the Nuggets just won the Western Conference Finals. And it was the saddest thing ever. It was like, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
Western Conference champions.
He did the voice where it's like, please stop throwing objects on the court.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Oh, Hank is woken back up.
The Blakes, we forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we had a meeting of the Blakes tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Down in Miami.
Thinking about that when I was talking, we were talking Nuggets Lakers.
Good callback, Hank. We saw Brooks. He was sitting courtside.
Brooks looks tired. He looks like he's ready to go to sleep.
Him and Hank, handshake. And then
he was also at the Peas game.
He was at the Peas game. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. And Blake Griffin was also there. So we had to know, did they say hi to each other? They did, in fact.
They did.
Dap each other up before the game started. And since Jenna was there, too, we might have had three Blakes in about, like, 2 square feet.
Yeah.
We need to get the Curb Your Enthusiasm footage. Like, someone's got to have that, like, a picture or video of it happening.
What does that have to do with Curb?
Curb their enthusiasm, like, solve the murder or something.
It's hard to decipher what you're saying, but we get it eventually.
Yeah, I feel like that was a big, everyone knew that.
Well, kind of, you're talking about a guy who got acquitted of a murder and wanting a footage of a dap up.
I thought he was talking about the music playing.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly what I thought.
But no, we get it. We follow you.
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength. We're one team, one heartbeat. Yeah.
Hank, this will get you excited. Talk about LeBron James getting swept. That's incredible. Jordan, when he got swept, he did in 3 games.
Yeah.
It took LeBron 4.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say about that. We can't lose 4-1, and I can't really be dancing on his grave. He's old. He's washed up. So it's not the way it was. He's just, you know, he's going to retire.
Well, he's not going to retire. That was classic LeBron to basically be like, oh, I got swept. Let me talk about retiring real quick. So that the story then becomes LeBron might walk away instead of LeBron got swept.
I thought it was a little classless, distasteful for LeBron to tease his retirement on the day of his best friend Carmelo Anthony's actual retirement, which I have to admit, I thought he retired like a year ago.
Well, at least. I don't know if you know this, but LeBron knew about that a week ago.
He did.
Yeah, he did the video.
When they made the video.
Yeah, that was, but yeah, LeBron, 0.0% chance he doesn't play at least another game of basketball in the NBA.
Has he missed like 100 threes in the fourth quarter this playoffs?
It was 100, yes. It was exactly 100.
Like 70.
That's actually
straight.
How they decided the series. First to miss 100 threes. he's not retiring.
No, he's not.
There's no way he's retiring.
LeBron.
There's a couple things that make it so he is not retiring. One, could you ever in a million years see LeBron James not doing a retirement tour?
No, he's going to require a gift from every team that he visits on the road. He's going to ask that they retire his jersey number.
Yeah.
He's going to pull out all the stops. It's going to be a big thing.
It's going to be a big thing. Two, Bronny is playing at USC. He still wants to play with Bronny. He can't retire if he wants to play with Bronny. Three, retirement tour. PFT, guess where the All-Star game is? The NBA All-Star game is in 2025.
LeBron James is from, I forget where he went to college. He is from Cleveland. Akron. He's from Akron. Is it in Cleveland, Ohio?
It is not. It's in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So LeBron James, the 2025 All-Star game, I'm assuming they'll rename a trophy after him, something like that. That will be the LeBron Fest. That's what's going to happen. He's going to play 2 more years. There's no chance. This is ridiculous that he even say it.
Well, let's also say that LeBron played this game injured. An injury that many people thought nobody could even walk on. So you can set your watch, if it's Chris Paul or if it's LeBron James losing in the playoffs, within about 18 hours, you'll get a story about how injured they were. Now, LeBron was hurt. He's old. He's played a full season. He's probably banged up a little bit, but the story started to come out right afterwards. He's going to take some time off. He's going to tease retirement. He's going to say, you know, I don't know if I want to go through this rehab process, playing another season, especially grueling. And then he's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to lace it up for another year.
Yeah.
And then he'll be back.
And he, look, I know that we're not the most pro LeBron podcast.
I hate it when stars do that.
What?
Just tease retirement and then come back at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not the most pro LeBron podcast, but what he did at the first half last night was special. He's 38 years old. He's not the LeBron. Like, he played, I think, all but 4 seconds on Monday night. Like, it was pretty insane that he was able to throw it back for that. He did run out of gas, but he's 38 years old. The Lakers, like, found something very special in Austin Reeves. Rui Hachimura played great all these playoffs. The big question is Anthony Davis. Like, you needed Anthony Davis to be the alpha because LeBron is 38 years old and he wasn't that guy on both ends. I also have something funny for you, PFT, that I was having a debate with our friend Kirk Minahan about top 10 players of all time. This take that I'm brewing for later on, some other day we'll do like our worst takes or the takes that will get us in the most trouble. But anyway.
I think LeBron's in there.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. That wasn't the take. I went and I looked at the top 75 all time, the list they made. Mm-hmm. The other, like whatever it was, 2 years ago when it was the 75th anniversary. Where's Anthony Davis on the top 75?
He is. He can't be that high up, like, right?
74. Or
yeah.
75.
Yeah.
Or he's like 76.
Thanks, PFT. I'm going to say. Yeah, turn your mic off, bitch. 71.
53.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
So when they put him on that list, that's people in a room just thinking to themselves, like, imagine Anthony Davis, like, trying to get D'd up by Pistol Pete and dunking on his head.
Yeah.
That's why they put him that high on the list.
Imagine how far Anthony Davis would rock one of Bob Cousy's layups.
Yeah, exactly. This is just looking at Anthony Davis, the freak athlete, and then comparing him to old players that were, by any objective stretch, much, much greater NBA players than Anthony Davis was.
It's just 53, and, like, yeah, I mean, he had moments in these playoffs. He had some games. He had a 40-point game. He played great defense at times, but, like, he was not what the Lakers needed him to be special. They needed him to be the guy, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He's 53.
He wasn't. He was healthy, though.
He was healthy.
That was nice to see. What about the rest of the supporting cast? Schroeder? You like Schroeder?
Yeah.
I actually think what the Lakers should do, the key to their season this year was getting rid of Westbrook. They need to re-sign Westbrook and then trade him away again.
Yes, I would agree.
And then vibes just skyrocket. They should maybe try to do that with Chris Paul, too.
Yes. We also had at the Lakers game, we're already starting the rumor mill because LeBron said he was going to retire, but we also had a player there who LeBron might play with again. So Kyrie Irving was at the Lakers game four. And that will start the rumor mill. I'm not a LeBron fan, but I don't want him to retire because he's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And from a pure basketball standpoint, watching him put in 31 in the first half and being like, I'm going to, like, empty the tank trying to will my team to not get swept was special. And it's fun to watch.
For all the LeBron stands out there and also LeBron haters. So I guess in this threesome I'm thinking about right now, I'd say Shannon Sharp as a lover and then Nick Wright as a lover and Skip Bayless as a hater. When LeBron James retires, they're still going to do like 2 years of content about what LeBron would have done on that night if he had been on that team.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You can't quit LeBron cold turkey.
Yes.
You have to wean yourself off him.
He will. They will have tweet alerts on, and if LeBron tweets about any game, that will be the lead story.
Yeah, that'll be their take on it.
Yes.
There were some people saying it was disrespectful to the Nuggets, how much attention was being paid to the Lakers. Guess what? The Lakers, it's LeBron.
Well, it's also
we're
like
you, pay attention.
You talk about the losers when the winners go on. I've never understood when people get upset about that. You have more time to talk about the Nuggets. They're playing in the NBA Finals. They have another series. When a team loses and gets swept, like if the Celtics had gotten swept tonight, we would have talked about the Celtics. That's how it works. You talk about the dead corpse and the team that's living and goes on, you have another day to talk about them.
Yeah, like John wasn't saluting Jackie Onassis as she walked down the street. She was saying bye to her dad.
I just hate that shit. I hate when people are like, oh, you don't talk about the... Yeah, the winners get to keep playing.
Yep.
We're going to talk about them. The Nuggets have 2 full weeks We led with the Nuggets here. We talked about the Nuggets before the Lakers, but the Nuggets have two full weeks where they get praise and they deserve it. Mm-hmm. They're a fucking special team. I did also. Now I'm starting to. I'm ditching. I'm getting into the like saying way too many nice things about LeBron. He gave a quote that was anti-Giannis, which I appreciated because I liked him saying this. I don't think he was like subtweeting Giannis or anything, but it was interesting seeing it. He said when asked about it. About the season, he says, I think it was okay. I don't like to say it's a successful year because I don't play for anything besides winning championships at this point in my career. You know, I don't get a kick out of making a conference finals appearance. I've done it a lot.
Yep.
Nice brag. Fair. And it's not fun to me to not be able to be part of getting to the finals, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Then he talks about his retirement. But I appreciated that. LeBron was being honest when he's like, I'm not fucking playing basketball at 38 years old. To be in a conference finals.
Yeah. No, I think that's he's 100% right about that. Like, of course he's not. He's not going to be going out there and putting his body through all that shit.
Right.
Just to lose again.
Right.
He wants to win. I respect that about LeBron. Say what you want about him. He's always wanted to win. He's never.
He has.
There have been maybe one or two games where he's come up and just laid a complete egg in the playoffs. But
Game three against Dallas? Or was it game four when he scored 8 points?
Yeah, 8 points. Yeah. But for the most part, like LeBron James, he competes when he's out there and when he's not flopping. But it was I'm going to miss talking about him when he's gone. But he's not gone.
He's not gone yet.
Out there is getting faked out by the LeBron retirement thing. If LeBron James retires from the NBA, I will also retire from the NBA.
Okay. Let's go one further. If LeBron James doesn't play a single more basketball game, that's a bad sentence. Hank, help me.
If he quits.
No. Hank, go ahead. You got it.
If LeBron James doesn't record a stat in an NBA game ever again.
Okay, nice. PFT, I think you and I should have to wear LeBron jerseys for an entire month.
Make it a year.
Fine, it's a year.
A year. I'll wear a LeBron jersey.
For a year? Fuck. Let's do a month. A month. Oh, we'll soft. Do a month. No, then why don't you get a cat, you fucking pussy?
What?
Yeah, you heard what I said.
I risked a cat.
A month. We'll do it for an entire month.
I will also.
No, you know what? We'll get cats. Fuck it.
I will read The Godfather.
And I will get a cat.
I will not get a cat. I will wear a LeBron James jersey for every NFL Sunday next year.
Oh, that's easy. No, like, you got to do more. I'm getting a cat.
I wear it for all NFL season.
Every day.
Every day.
And get cornrows for a month.
I will get cornrows. Why cornrows?
Why not?
LeBron James, has he ever had cornrows?
That's nothing to LeBron.
I will go bald.
Funniest to you.
I will go bald.
What does that mean? You are going bald. Yeah.
No, but my hair's growing back.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Yeah. Who's back of the week? Yeah. I'll wear a LeBron James jersey.
For the entire NBA season.
For the entire NBA season.
There you go. And I'll get a cat.
Yep.
I also will not get a cat if he sits out next year.
Yeah.
Because I think he could sit out next year and then play with Bronny.
Maybe come back, play for the Wizards.
We also could just say he'll always come back.
Yeah,
Barry Sanderson.
Yeah, I keep pushing that off.
Okay, yeah, so those are the stakes.
Bronny's mom's hot, by the way.
LeBron's wife?
Yeah, Bronny's mom.
Yeah. Savannah is her name?
Can
you say her name? She has a name?
She's Bronny's mom. Savannah? That's her most important job.
She's Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah, good-looking girl.
Woman.
With all due respect, knock it out the park.
What?
Why? What do you mean?
You guys know that clip?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so funny.
What do you mean, why?
Mark Jackson, I don't know the context, but he literally says, I knock it out the park, all due respect.
So about LeBron's wife?
Yes. I'm going to play it. It's.
I would not knock it out. I would hit a sack fly.
I have a take, too. You had it ready to go.
All of that talk was that his wife, Savannah, had a sinker ball and a fastball as a high school softball pitcher.
I tell you what.
And you know what I was thinking, Mike? We've had this running debate.
Wait.
Whether Mark could put into play against an average major league.
Wait, they're actually talking about softball.
Yeah. Yeah, hey.
Well, I never heard this part of it. We'll cut this.
No way.
Hey,
I don't think Mark could put into play one.
I've only heard this part. Ready?
Because of her sinker.
Thompson for three won't go. Kevin Love the rebound. I'm shocked you downplayed Savannah. He said she was all city. James again from downtown. And I hit out the park. No question. With all due respect.
So hey. I missed. Context matters.
Hey.
Context matters.
Wait.
That just ruined
so
it.
So you've just been living in a world where Mark Jackson said on national TV, I will fuck LeBron James' wife.
He would have been killed.
I've only heard the Cooper goes, I think you're downplaying Savannah. And I would knock it out the park with all due respect, which without the softball context is the funniest quote of all time. And now I just ruined it for myself and probably other AWLs.
I guess
that makes more sense.
Would you hit Savannah out of the park? Would you knock her out of the park, Hank?
You admit it makes sense now?
I'd hit a dribbler to the mound.
Hank? We've lost him again. Okay. I would say, by the way, Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, I don't know if they like basketball anymore. They complain nonstop.
Yeah.
And I know that like sometimes it's good because they're saying things that the NBA doesn't want to be said and all that, but like they really don't. Like there's times where I'm like, do these guys even want to be here?
They just get frustrated with the officiating.
With everything though, with load management, with the officiating, with fouls, with everything.
You get old fast.
You get old fast
watching sports. Everybody becomes a boomer.
Yeah. I used to love those guys and now I'm like they feel angry half the time.
I love how Mark Jackson always calls Jeff Van Gundy coach.
Yeah.
I do like that part
coach
about
it. Coach for life.
Coach for life.
Okay. Our Knights are one away.
Mm-hmm.
And our Panthers.
Peas.
Are one away.
Up the peas.
Let's go peas.
And that's talking hockey.
Yep.
Okay. Let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. Don't you dare anyone tweet saying you didn't talk about hockey. We did.
Yeah.
We just talked about the Knights. Hurricanes. We said them. No, I've been watching all the series. It's fun to watch playoff hockeys, but it's hard when it's 3-0.
Yeah.
And the Panthers, like the Hurricanes they played a very good game the other night and they just
1-0.
Yeah. Bob was
sick. Can't score 5-on-5.
Brick wall Bob.
He has 67 straight saves. So he's been on fire.
I think it might have been our friend Paul Bissonnette. It might have been somebody else on that desk. When it went to overtime the other night, they said it was Stars Knights. And they said you can't have a night with no Stars. And they were saying the Stars were going to win. That's just not true. You can have a night with no Stars easily, but you can't have.
Well, yeah, if you live in a city with
air pollution. Yeah, but you can. They meant the other thing, which is you can't have Stars with no night.
Well, technically,
well, no, that's
the sun.
Yeah,
the sun's a star.
Fuck.
Yeah.
God damn. What are you, now, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Hank has made us all a little bit high.
Yeah, I got contact tires.
It's hot in here.
Yeah, it is hot.
Yeah. Takes are hot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hank, Hot Seat Cool Throne. Oh, this is bad because so Hank.
My hot seat is
We recorded FAQs at noon and Hank said to us, he's like, are we doing Hot Seat Cool Throne right now? Because I don't have anything. And in the back of my head, I was like, we're going to flash forward 12 hours and he'll still have nothing.
Okay, LeBron. Mm-hmm. My hot seat is...
Do you have anything?
Yes, pants.
Oh, okay.
Good.
It's getting hot out. Short season. My other hot seat, I guess, yeah. And then I guess I'll say it this way. My cool throne is me because I'm a mature-looking gentleman. I tweeted and said, I'm wrapping up my 20s. A couple weeks, I'll be 30. So this Celtics money line tonight was the game of my 20s. Put a decade on the line. Borderline overwhelming response of people saying, I thought you were already way older than 30.
Oh,
which
you're distinguished.
Some could look at it as an insult. I look at it as a compliment because I'm a mature, older gentleman.
That's also internet age. Like, people have known you for 11 years now.
It's 10 years as well.
Yeah. And it's been, but I'm saying, like, they've known you, watched you.
Probably like 10 years this week, yeah.
That's a really long time.
Yeah, so cool throw on me.
All right. Wow, great job, Hank.
Is this our 10-year anniversary, me and you?
Yeah.
Wow.
What's the 10-year anniversary gift? Jake, can you look that up? The traditional one?
I mean, I tried. I was hoping Big Cat was going to, you know, ride with me on.
Hank, I've explained this time and time again.
It doesn't matter.
You've written about it. You've talked about it. I fucked up.
Tin or aluminum gifts.
Oh, get him some Coors Light.
Symbolize strength and longevity.
Hank, I actually just got this for you. It's the part of my take koozie.
These things are actually sick.
I know. So what'd you get me?
I got you a tin.
He's pulling it out of his pocket.
I lost it. Okay. Jake, you got one? Extra one?
Not on me.
Okay, so good hot seat, cool throne, Hank.
Thank you.
Great job, Hank.
I really don't want you to ever sleep again. Like, I don't want to look. You know what this
fading.
Is like?
I'm fading.
This is like the Dwight Schrute when he gets concussed episode.
Yeah, he's so
and
nice
Pam's
to everyone.
Like, I don't want you to go back to just regular Dwight. I love this Hank. You're fading?
Yeah.
Did you drive today?
No.
Oh, I was going to say you're going to fall asleep behind the wheel.
No, thank God.
Okay.
We got an early day tomorrow.
We do. You're not going to make it.
Yeah, well.
What are you doing tomorrow morning?
We got to shoot.
Shoot what?
A video.
What kind of video is it?
At a golf course. And Hank, so I'll just say it. It's going to come out soon. It's for a giveaway. And we're going to shoot at a golf course.
No teasers.
I literally need to shoot one shot, PFD. And Hank keeps in planning this. He's like, yeah, we'll play like 3 or 4 holes. I'm like, no, I need to take one shot. I'm going to take one shot. And then we're getting in the car and going to work.
Yeah, but like, you know, show business, it's like you got to take multiple takes.
See, he's been doing this the whole time where he's like, we'll do like 3 or 4 holes. I'm like, no. One shot is all I need.
Hank needs to take 0 shots. Yes, Hank himself needs 0 shots.
He's going to take shots.
He's going to take a shot.
you're going to play a full 9.
No.
I'm telling you, this golf bet, it's heavy in importance.
Yeah, oh yeah, mm-hmm. More than the Celtics.
No,
yeah.
No, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, about
golfing.
Oh,
I would go to caddy school.
Okay,
I already thought about it.
DFT,
it's not gonna happen.
My hot seat is the Europa Conference final in soccer because Nolsey's going. That's right, bitch. Nolsey's going. You guys know Nolsey?
No.
Nolsey is the West Ham fan that at their semifinal match it was against. AZ Alkmaar.
Okay.
Their fans are the ultras. They're like big time hooligans.
Yeah.
After the game was over, the ultras tried to storm the West Ham friends and family section in the stands. And this one big British unit, this absolute lad, stood on the stairs like it was at the 300 at Thermopylae.
Stamford Bridge.
Fighting them all off, punching these guys in the face, keeping this. It's probably like 24, 30 guys.
How do you spell them?
Nolsey. His name is Chris Knoll, but they call him Nolsey, which is a perfect name for him.
Okay.
K-N-O-L-L. This fucking unit was just up there swinging, punching dudes in the face, knocking them all back. The video went viral. West Ham, my team, my club, they reached out to him, and they bought him tickets to go to the final match next month. They're sending him there as like an official fan representative.
Oh, no.
This dude is awesome. But I'm sure that if you look deep enough into Nolsey's internet history, I'm guessing you might find something bad. I don't know. Well, I don't know that for a fact, but I know how these stories go. Just appreciate Nolsey in the moment.
Okay, so I searched Nolsey because I wanted to watch the video, and the first video that popped up was, so Nolsey didn't actually do anything and just got battered.
Haters.
And it's just a video of, I think, Nolsey getting his ass kicked.
That's a bad angle. Look at the other one.
It's the best angle because it's the one from above.
Look at the other one, though.
Okay.
You'll see Nolsey just defending. He's defending the wall.
Got it. Okay.
Nolsey's a fucking lad.
Because that one bummed me out because it was just an older guy getting fucking worked.
Yeah. Well, even if he did just get worked, he still put his body on the line and protected everybody else that was in the stands.
Yeah.
Shout out Nolsey.
Okay, shout out Nolsey.
You're an absolute lad.
Okay.
And then my cool throne is Thursday night football ratings because the NFL announced that they are flexing weeks 12 through 18, Thursday night football.
13 through 17.
I read 12 through 18. Jake's right, probably.
I don't think there's a Thursday game on week 18.
All right, whatever, Jake.
Sorry, it was mine, too.
Dude, Nolsey's getting his
13
ass
through
kids.
17.
Nolsey's getting
watch the other one. You haven't watched the good angle.
I've seen a picture, too. He's got
no,
black
but
eyes.
Watch the other angle. Okay, yeah, because he fought 40 guys.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to find the other.
I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait to. I'm trying to find the other angle. You find the good video.
I don't know where the other angle is that shows Nolsey like protecting everyone.
Just search Nolsey on Twitter.
It looks like the fake news has gotten a hold of the Nolsey story.
No, Nolsey.
Oh yeah, all right. So I'm seeing the other angle, which is kind of the bad angle. But yeah, he did a good job.
Nolsey beat the fuck out of people.
It's hard to erase what I saw first.
Nolsey's a lad. So weeks 13 through 17 are now eligible to be flexed on Thursday Night Football. They're going to give teams a minimum of 28 days notice before the decision is made. That feels like a lot of guessing to be like, oh, 1 month from now, this game will be better than the game that we have in its place. So the ones that are eligible to be flexed, Dallas at Seattle, Pittsburgh at New England, San Francisco at Seattle, the Rams at the Saints, and the Browns at the Jets. So at least one of those will be flexed.
My favorite argument when this came up was the football writers are like, won't anyone think about the fans that are planning their schedule to go to away games? It's like, yeah, okay. There's probably a couple hundred that were going to go to a late season Thursday night game away, but how many millions of people are going to watch a game on TV and we might get better football?
Yeah, so that's what it boils
down to. Like, I do feel bad. You probably want to, but also, they're telling you right now, don't plan to go to that game.
So my idea for announcing NFL schedules in a perfect world just for TV purposes, if there were no fans in the stands, would be Sunday night after the afternoon slate before the night game starts on Football Night in America. At that point, they announce what the games next week are going to be. And then if you lose, guess what? You have something to watch that show for, because there's nothing worse. If you lose on Sunday, you avoid the highlight shows like it's the plague.
Yeah.
But if you watch that for the selection, for the schedule unveiling for the next week.
I love it.
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome.
It'd be so awesome.
I predict right now Rams-Saints. That's going to be flexed.
What is it? Seahawks-Cowboys?
Dallas at Seattle.
I could see the Cowboys sucking this year.
I hope so.
Doesn't that feel like they do that?
Yeah, Hank can't have it all.
Yeah.
Steelers at New England. They're going to keep that one. 49ers at the Seahawks. I could also see the Seahawks sucking this year.
Yeah.
And then the Browns at the Jets. They're going to want to put Rodgers on primetime.
Okay, my hot seat, similar football, is the Dogs trying to make a roster because they changed the kickoff rule again, fair catches, which college football already has. I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Yeah, the only bummer is that we're not going to see any returns at all.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see some still, because if you kick it to like the 10, they might return it.
They've been gradually phasing that out of the game, though.
Yeah, which is, it does suck a little bit, but I also, it already happens in college football. So I'm always like of the belief that if it's a rule that happens in college football, they make it in the NFL, I'm okay with it, because my brain was already split halfway down where it's like, you know, you'll watch a college football game and there was the first couple of years where it happened and like, why are they fair catching it?
Yeah.
My brain is adjusted. You know, so what? When they fair catch a kickoff, I will know what's going on.
We're always going to have the Cordarrelle Patterson return with the Skycam.
Yeah.
That's really when kickoffs, that was the last great kickoff that we got to see.
Yeah.
They're just going to end up pooch kicking it to the 20 and they're going to cover and they're just going to fair catch it every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they miss the pooch kick?
Exactly.
And then they get to return it.
It could be squib kicks. The return of the squib.
There's an art in that. Okay, and then my cool throne is Carmelo Anthony. We alluded to it, but he retired. Legendary career. Oh, Jake.
Thank you, Mello. Thank you, Mello.
Three-time gold medal winner.
Yeah, American hero.
People were talking maybe retire his number for the Nuggets. He does wear the same number as Jokic. Someone had the good idea on Twitter that they should just make 15 the best Nuggets player.
Yeah, it's like number 10 in soccer.
Right, exactly. I do think he might get retired. I wouldn't be shocked if the Knicks retire his number.
They might.
Because what, Hank?
Go to like the second round once?
But yeah, he was the best Knicks memories in the past 30 years.
Yikes. He picked the Knicks, though, over, because remember after the LeBron, Bosh, Wade, Summer, and everything, Melo wanted to be with the Knicks. He wanted to be with the Knicks. He picked the Knicks. That was the I'm coming home. We talked to him about that video. I think there's like, weren't a lot of people picking the Knicks.
You know what? USA Basketball should retire his number. How about that? Nice.
Maybe they won't. I just know that Knicks fans do love Melo. He picked him.
Yeah, you should retire numbers for winners. Not like nice guys that you're like.
Okay.
Syracuse retired it.
He won a championship.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He won a championship. But yeah, Melo was, I actually think that.
They like Jeremy Lin too. His number's not retired.
Yeah, I know. Jeremy Lin was like really good for a month.
Kristaps.
What about him?
They loved Kristaps.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He ended very he poorly with
in the
him.
Playoffs, did he?
Yeah. Ended very.
I mean, we're
poorly.
Doing second round. Whatever. I'm not.
Actually, you know what? Hank's right. It would be weird if the Knicks retired his number.
I'm not basing it on what he did. I'm saying because he picked him, and no one's picked the Knicks.
Yeah,
now, pick me trophies. Yeah.
Okay, but I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe I'm way off. Knicks fans love Melo.
I would be shocked either. I'm just saying it's soft.
Okay.
Now, what happens next year if, let's say, the Lakers making a little postseason noise
done.
Down the stretch? They need another body.
Let me see.
There's an injury. Get on the phone. Get Melo there.
Knicks.
Melo's going to be bodying people at Lifetime Fitness. That's what I'm looking forward to. He should still treat. He should play as much basketball. He should play more basketball. Except just casually at the gym, pick up ball.
Okay, I'm just going off of a tweet from NBA Central. Should the Knicks retire Carmelo Anthony's number? Most people are saying no. Okay, so there you go. No, I will change my take. No, no.
Yeah, I agree
even though
he
picked him. I just think they have a special place in their heart because he did pick him when no one picked him.
What did he wear on USA Basketball?
I don't know. Probably, I think he might have worn 7.
Carmelo Anthony, USA Basketball, number 7. They should retire it.
Also,
15.
15? Okay.
Carmelo Anthony also retires is maybe the coolest thing you could say about someone. He was a walking bucket.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone will say. And I also saw a video today that made me very sad and feel very old. It was some guy on Instagram talking to an AAU team, and they were asking him who Melo is, and they all were just saying LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
And that hurt.
That is sad.
Yeah.
They should know better.
Yeah.
That's bad parenting.
Yeah. Stay mellow. Okay. Billy.
My hot seat is Italians. Turns out there was recently a crisis meeting in Italy because the price of pasta has been too high.
Ooh.
So they had a pasta meeting.
I don't like the sound of a crisis meeting in Italy.
I would have liked to see this pasta meeting.
I know. I just think it's hilarious. Like a bunch of guys standing around like, the pasta is, you got a pasta problem.
Out. Yeah, they have a pasta riot. Pasta rebellion.
Well, Hank, why are you eating yourself?
Worry about yourself.
I just looked over and you were gnawing on the inside of your finger.
I have a little blister from golf. I'll just get rid of the skin. Fuck off.
Too much golf. Okay.
I thought you were trying to bite off your tattoo.
I saved a mean comment during the kickoff thing because I wasn't trying to be contentious, but like, the NFL didn't have kickoffs, like your best Chicago player of the last 40 years was a kick returner.
I agree. I'm not saying, but they found out that kickoffs are pretty dangerous. I want football to last forever.
All right. That's why I didn't say anything.
I feel like we're on the other side of the delirious mountain.
Well, you're calling me out. Like, I'm just existing.
Well, I looked over and you're going like this. This is weird. This is weird.
You don't worry. You know, your hands are soft. You got Billy hands. You got Billy hands.
Yeah,
my hands are calluses.
Oh, we don't want you to do this again. Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that one to the.
All right. Good hot seat, Billy.
Yeah, go ahead. Cool throne.
Jets, Alan Lazard had to leave OTAs and Aaron Rodgers. They both thought they were hurt. But turns out Alan Lazard just got hit in the nuts. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, was trying to take some time off to chill.
Got it.
Okay.
So that's cool.
So
I thought he had a calf injury.
Yeah.
So
were
we supposed to worry and then we're not worried?
Yeah, we were supposed to worry. Now we're not worried.
He had a tender little calf, though.
Yeah, because, everyone thought Lazard got seriously injured, but they didn't say that he came back to practice. But they're like, he got carried off. It turns out he just got hit in the nuts. So
got
it. That's pretty cool.
Got it. Okay. We're losing Hank. Go ahead, Hotsy. Cool throw.
Okay. My hot seat. My hot seat's birds.
Okay.
There was a bird sitting in the infield of the Guardians White Sox game, and it got hit and died.
And there was some pitcher was warming up in the outfield, drilled a bird with a curveball, killed the bird too 2 days ago.
Yeah. So, not great.
Horses of the sky.
Horses of the sky.
Carson Wentz should have played baseball.
Yeah. And sticking with the animal theme, my cool throne squirrels. A squirrel was running along the wall of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
tonight.
Rally squirrel. And rally it fell squirrel? Off. Yeah, it fell off. Now,
the fans, it's funny.
It's a bad look for New York sports fans. They were terrified of this squirrel.
Probably retire his number.
Yeah.
I like this thing.
Jeffrey Morrow would have snatched that squirrel up in his glove and crushed it to death.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah, they were scared.
They're terrified
of
the squirrel.
Bad podcasting, but it's the fans. God. Their jaws are on the floor, and it's a squirrel. Slow motion, running on the wall on the short porch, and he fell. Down he goes.
Okay, good, cool thrown. Before we do Jimmy Tatro and
Wait, Hank has another point to make.
Fun fact. No, this is actually just a fun little stat. The Celtics had a team outing at Topgolf after their afternoon film session. Maybe all their whacking golf balls help relieve their stress.
Okay.
That's just a fun fact.
It is a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
I mean, Topgolf is fun.
Do you have any last words, Hank? Because we're going to say goodbye to this version of Hank. I assume you're going to sleep at some point.
I'm going
to miss this guy.
Yep.
So maybe say goodbye to the AWLs. We don't know when we'll see Delirious Hank.
I won't sleep on Sunday night. I'll be ready to go Monday.
Oh, you're not going to sleep now?
On Sunday.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Smart.
For what if there's no game?
There will be a game. There will be.
You just guaranteed a game 7?
He guaranteed it right when this game ended. He's like, we'll see you Monday night.
Game 7 is guaranteed to Henry Lockwood right now.
Yeah, fuck it.
PFT's going to be shitting himself.
I will.
Oh, PFT knows. The second I saw that tweet, I was like,
I will shit myself. If the Celtics
you
win,
you deserve it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I do. This is a bet that will make me no friends. It'll just make me hopefully 10% richer. It's called math, Hank. It's called compounding interest. It's called investing in your future.
Never mind.
Don't lay it off. No, you already went after Devin Hester. Go ahead. Come on, do it.
No. I was thinking, I was trying to pick PFT apart, but I.
You can't.
Yeah.
I'm unpickable. You can't bite me like I'm your hand. Okay, wait.
Okay, no, nothing.
Nothing, yeah. Okay, Hank's, he's tank's empty right now.
Yeah, you could bite him.
Hank won't bite me.
You deserve to lose,
Hank,
that's all
I'm
saying.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, let's kick it to ourselves. Jimmy Tatro and Daniel Ricciardo, both in person, or no, Jimmy Tatro on Zoom, Daniel Ricciardo in person, and then FAQs, great FAQs after that.
We're going to get to our good friend Jimmy Tatro in a second. Before we do, it's brought to you by The League. Let's talk about the newest league that you guys need to join. No, it's not an NBA bracket. It's not fantasy football. It's a dating app called The League, designed for busy, career-oriented people to find their other half. Many athletes, especially those making a career out of it, have the passion and work ethic that The League looks for in their users. But you don't have to be from an Ivy League school, rich, or a CEO. So whether your passion is business, music, or sports, if you value your time, refuse to settle, and want to find that in a partner, then The League is for you. And speaking of The League's user base, they boast a 60-40 girl-to-guy ratio. So the straight guys are looking at much better odds here compared to the mainstream apps where you're lucky if there's 30% women.
I'm on there.
Are you,
Let's
Hank?
Go. Great.
Find Hank on The League. Do some scouting. Get out there. Hank's got great combine numbers.
Yeah.
How tall are you, Hank? What'd you measure it at?
6'1.5".
Okay.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
On dating profiles.
6'1.5". Easy. And The League believes that a supportive partner is the best career accelerator that there is. So when you're ready to find your special someone, pick a partner who will challenge you to swing for the fences. We're going to get Hank. Hank, you're going to connect with that special somebody on The League because you, my friend, are a career-oriented professional. You're basically CEO of this company. I'm sure you're looking for another like-minded woman out there that will share that same drive and ambition that you have.
Facts.
We're going to find her. Download The League from the App Store today and message your concierge, hashtag PMT, and skip the wait. How about that? Get to the front of the line. So all you have to do, if you're looking for your Hank or if you're looking for your Henrietta, download The League on the App Store today and message that concierge, hashtag PMT, and you can skip the wait. And now here's Jimmy Tatro.
Okay, we now welcome on our very good friend, recurring guest, Hollywood star, Jimmy Tatro. No, you're a Hollywood star. Jimmy, let's start with that. What is life like now that you are a Hollywood star?
Everything has changed. I think the hardest thing about being a Hollywood star has been just completely replacing my friend group with more star power.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not really that good of friends with all these new friends, but
they're better friends.
Been, Yeah, they're cooler friends. So, you know, it's been necessary to just cut all of the friends and family closest to me. But that's just part of the biz. That's part of the Hollywood biz, you know?
Yeah, it just happens. So you are on with us because The Machine is coming out this weekend. You play a young Bert Kreischer, our friend Bert Kreischer. So let's talk about the movie first. When you signed up for this, so you're playing Bert Kreischer, who's in the movie. It's his life. It's his story. Did he sit you down and he was like, this is what you have, like, this is how cool you have to act. Like, you need to look like this. You need to do this because it's my life.
To be honest, no. He didn't even do that even a little bit. Like, I think I would have liked him to do that a little bit, but he just fully trusted, I guess, every part of the process. So no, he didn't actually tell me anything that I should be doing or like mannerisms or anything. But it was a little weird being on set with a guy that you're playing while he's there. Cause you're just like, I'm trying to act like you. Like I had like a little thing in my lower lip to make my lips look more like his. And he was like, what's that thing? I'm like, oh, this is to look like you. And he was just like,
Yeah, did you have to put on weight for the role?
No, I actually did ask the director that. I was like, so I'm not going to like get big for this, just so you know. And he's like, no, it's fine. It's you know, you're like a college version of Bert, so I don't think you don't need to actually like put on any weight. Yeah. Because I was unwilling to do that.
Oh, really? So wait, I mean, is this going forward? Because you are a big Hollywood actor. Uh-huh. You won't do even the other way, like Christian Bale and The Machinist. Like, you're not going to do that?
Well, I'm not down to do it. I'm not down to do it when I'm playing Bert Kreischer.
Okay, fair.
You know, if it was a role where it was like, this guy is, you know, you got to get big for it, I would probably do it. But to play young Bert in The Machine, it didn't feel like the right one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to go method acting for Bert would actually be pretty easy. You just get hammered all the time and go on every podcast in America.
Yeah.
So I kind of did go method then in that sense because, you know, we were just out there in Serbia just drinking the whole time. Bert is like definitely – it was a blast to do the movie with Bert, and he's definitely what your parents would call a bad influence.
But in a great way, it seems like, because he always seems like he's having the best time ever.
He is. He really created like such a fun environment on set that was just so, no one was stressed out. Cause it's, you know, he kind of is in the position where he sets the tone. Like if you're the lead of the movie, it's kind of your job to set the tone. And he's just so friendly and personable and like just funny that it just created a really it was a really fun environment on set. And he just always was like on set like, so what are we doing after this? What's the move?
Yeah.
I like that.
What was it like in Serbia? How are the Serbian people?
Serbia was interesting, you know? The people were nice. It was like a very interesting place. I love going to places. Like one of the cool things about this job is like you do go to places that you probably would never otherwise go. And so I got to spend like 2 months in Serbia just being immersed in the Serbian culture, seeing bus ads of Nikola Jokic everywhere you go. It was fun.
Is that why you don't like it that much? Is because it reminds you too much of Jokic?
You knew we were going to get here.
That's the entire reason I asked the question about
Serbia.
Yeah,
we were
going
to get here. It's actually credit to us to get almost 10 minutes into the interview without talking about how washed your king looks.
The franchise, really.
Yeah.
Well, this is coming out when? Tomorrow?
Either Wednesday or Friday. So it'll be over.
So, no, so by the time this comes out, the Lakers It will be 3-1. LeBron had a great game last night or the night before. Mm-hmm. I forget which one. AD really came through. And we needed that.
I mean, be honest. You thought that this year was special. You thought that after you beat the Warriors, it's like this team, and they looked really good. They ever since the trade deadline, they looked really good. Yeah. And now they're just flaming out in spectacular fashion. The NBA is trying to rig the games for the Lakers, and they're not good enough to win. Where are you at with the future? Because, again, LeBron's looking old.
Yeah. You know, it's been a tough three games. It's been frustrating because it felt like every game we had so many opportunities to win it, and we just kept blowing it over and over again. I still think there's a chance right now. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but I think if anyone's going to do it, it's this squad. See, here's the thing. All season, every game I've been to and watched, I've been like, if we just played defense, we'd be good. First half, neither team played defense during the regular season. We'd be winning. Second half comes around, we continue to not play defense. The other team plays defense. We lose. So it seemed this all season like we have a pretty straightforward solution. And I don't, you know, I just don't know what's been going on these last three games. I thought we were on a good roll. And then, it's tough. It's tough. It is starting to feel like the Nuggets are maybe looking a little too good.
Yeah. Now, would you, if you do end up getting swept, or even say it's 4-1, would that be so bad that you then put LeBron below Kobe in your all-time Lakers? Because I know right now you have LeBron above Kobe. So how would that shake out?
Yeah, so, I think if LeBron pulls this off, he'll make his way into my top Lakers category. But for now, I mean, I still don't put him above Pau Gasol.
Oh, wow.
That's spicy. Now, could you consider this season to be a moral victory, though?
Say it again?
Is this season a moral victory?
You got
all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Nobody thought that was going to happen. Like, good job, Lakers.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. I don't think it's a bad result if we don't make a miraculous comeback and win this Nuggets series in seven. I don't think it's a bad result. I still think it's impressive, but.
That's loser talk.
This is great coming from the Lakers.
That's loser talk.
It's not a failure. This season's not a failure.
This is the once proud Los Angeles Lakers. Hey, we got swept in the Western Conference Finals.
It's steps to success.
To what? Winning a title when LeBron's 45?
No, that was just me quoting Giannis.
It would be great, though, if the Lakers hung a banner that said Western Conference Finalist.
Ooh. Won a game. Maybe.
I respect the shit out of LeBron. The complaining about the foul calls that I have a hard time with. You know, maybe if there was a little less of that, I would be more willing to include him in my top Lakers category. But it just makes it a little tough.
Yeah, Austin Reeves is definitely in there, though. That guy is the best.
Austin Reeves, I swear to God, if we fucking trade Austin Reeves, I'm going to be so pissed off. We need a guy like Austin Reeves.
Yeah, he is a glue guy. Are you at the point in your A-list celebrity life that you get free courtside tickets to the Lakers? Like, have you been, I assume you've been shown on the Jumbotron, right? Is that the official made it in L.A. moment?
I actually have not been shown on Jumbotron. But it's funny you ask. I did actually have to turn down courtside tickets to the game tonight, which it was pretty devastating, to be honest. But I'm just simply not in LA, and it wasn't going to work. But that was Bert invited me to come with him, and I had to say no. And I'm kind of mad just thinking about it, to be honest.
Shit.
If you lose, it's your fault then.
Yeah.
You could have been there. You could have made a difference.
That's true. Well, that's the thing about courtside seats is you actually can kind of make a difference.
Yeah.
Like my friend has the tickets that are like right in front of the basket where they shoot free throws. And like in that seat, you can have a big impact on the game. If you stand up and scream some shit when they're shooting free throws, like they'll hear you 100%. So it is a lot of pressure, but no one on the court is like that into it at Lakers games. I feel like they're just, you know, people just are trying to look so cool on the floor.
I've always thought that a fan could really create a lot of chaos if they just brought a whistle into an NBA game. Mm. If you're sitting courtside and you have a whistle, you can stop the other team from winning. If it's coming down and there's like 30 seconds left, they're trying to get their last shot off, you blow the whistle, yeah, you get kicked out, but that's a defensive stop.
Right. But you'd get to blow that whistle one time before you get booted. So you'd have to really be strategic about when you blow.
Yeah, like a fast break.
Or game 7. Yeah. It's a home game. There's 2 minutes left. You got to bring that whistle out. You got to be waiting for just the right time, and you can actually win a championship for your team.
Wow. This is too. But do you think that if you blew a whistle, you'd get banned for life, or you
probably?
Yeah.
But you get a championship. Like this is a sacrifice that you would make.
Or it could totally backfire, and like they could call a technical foul on the fans, because that can happen. I'm pretty sure they can do that, which would be nuts. I think like you've seen times when like fans have gotten unruly and the coach has to come out and like they'll give like a warning. It happens in college basketball where they'll give like a warning to the student section. Maybe they would be like, yeah, that fan. Maybe what you do is you wear the other team's colors, and then you blow the whistle, and then you just mass confusion.
False flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could actually win two technical foul shots for your own team.
Yeah.
Something I've wanted to do for years, and maybe now that I say this, someone will steal the idea, but there's two seats right next to the Lakers bench where you're literally like, it's like Lakers, 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 fan. And I want to get that seat. I want to buy that seat, and I want to figure out what uniform they're wearing that day. And I want to get the warm-ups, the jersey, and just be on the floor, just pretending I'm part of the team, joining the huddles, you know, just trying to get my hand in there for a defense on three.
I love that idea. I've actually had that idea, not for basketball, but for college football. If you just put on a pair of khakis and a team-issued polo, there's like 200 people on the sideline. You could easily just run out there and just be like, yeah, he's one of the, you know, grad assistants. Like, no one knows who he is. It would work.
I think that would 100% work for football, because there's just so many guys. There's no way the coach knows all those names.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Facts. Just hanging out. So
you just say, if they ask, you just say, I'm the transfer. That always works.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So
I'm the new guy. Oh, you're the new guy? Oh, cool.
Yeah, look at these plays I got drawn up. Since we've last had – well, we've had you on many times, but the first time we had you on, it was like right before everything's kind of taken off for you. Like, it is a dumb question, but I'm just curious, like, the last 5 years of your life, has it been like, holy shit, I can't believe all the things I wanted are now happening? Home economics, you've been in a couple big-time movies. Like, it's happening. It's all happening in front of our eyes.
I definitely feel like grateful for where I'm at, but I think, you know, it's weird. Like, from my perspective, it just seems like I've just been kind of slowly cruising and making progress. It hasn't seemed like there's been like a significant, like, you know, jump at any point. It just seems like, I don't know. Like, I've just been grinding and working hard, and like it's cool to see big things start to happen. But from my perspective, it's just been like a slow and steady grind.
Yeah. Have you had people, and this sucks to ask, but like fans of your YouTube back in the day being like, "Oh, dude, you sold out."
Oh, yeah. Well, first it was you guys.
Yeah. Well, you did.
Yeah, I totally did. No, it's honestly pretty cool. Like, a lot of my fans from my YouTube will come up to me on the street and just be like, hey, man, I'm really proud of you. And I'm like, oh, thanks, dude. I had a dude come up to me the other day. He was like, dude, I've been watching you since I was six. And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 19. And I was like, wow, yeah, I mean, I guess the math works, but that doesn't really make me feel that good. You know what? Since you were six?
Yeah, his brain has been molded by you.
Yeah, I'm like, where are your parents? He's like, I've been watching since I was six, and he's just wearing a flat brim hat. Bro, you shaped my childhood, dog.
That's awesome. Oh. We had Anders Holm on the show, and he was talking to us about his kind of behind the scenes where he was being offered the home economics job if you turned it down. And then he said he DM'd you and was like, the way he put it was very funny. He was like trying to talk you out of it, but not talk you out of it, because I think he wanted that gig. And I think he said, like, Jimmy, you will this I don't want to say that this spot is beneath you, but you have unlimited potential, and it wouldn't be the worst thing if you turn this down, let me have this one, and then you go off and be a big star.
He was actually, like, so cool about it, and he was literally the worst person. I called him for advice. I was trying to figure out if I should do the show or not, and I knew that he had done, like, a network show, and he's also, like, a guy that makes his own stuff. So I called him to be like, hey, I just wanted to, like, get your opinion on you know, your experience doing a network TV show. And he was like, dude, before this goes any further, I got to just be honest with you. I've been told that if you turn this down, they're going to offer it to me, and I would love to do it. With that being said, and then he just, like, had an honest conversation about you know, how he felt about the whole thing. But it was just really funny. Like, the one dude that I called for advice on, like, should I do this or not, was like, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it, and I want to do it.
So did you think, like, was there a little bit of guilt when you said, I'm going to do it?
There was a little bit, because I was like, I could feel that he really wanted to do it, and I'm over here like. So yeah, I hit him up. I was like, hey, man, just letting you know I did decide to do it. And he was like, dude, that's great. Super happy for you.
That's so funny. Hey, is Real Bros of Simi Valley, are we getting another season?
I do have some news. It's unofficial right now, but I will have some official update in the next, like, couple months. Something is coming.
It's so crazy, because when we first interviewed you, we were in LA, and Hank, our producer, was like, I think you guys got to interview Jimmy Tatro. We admitted it. We didn't really know you. You didn't know us. And then since that moment, like, Real Bros of Simi Valley is, like, maybe my favorite show. And so I know you're going for the cycle. I think you're trying to get it on the fifth different streaming platform. I need another season. Like, it is such a fuck. It's one of those shows that you watch and you're like, how is this not the most popular show? Because it's that funny.
I know. Believe me, there's been a lot of frustration with the people that are in the position to make more happen.
Yeah.
And we finally found a way to make more. I think that's as much as I can say. It's been a journey, but we do have, because we just had, like, such a great idea for how to bring the thing to a close, and there was just, like, so much left to do.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited, and I will you guys will be the first to know when I'm allowed to actually say what it is.
I like that. And Hawk will be, like, what, like, 85 years old in this last season? It'll be great.
He will be Very old, yes. He is definitely older than Xander at this point. He's. I don't want to give too much away, but Hawk's story is a big part of where we're going with it.
Hell yes.
I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. What's next for you? Are you have you reached a point where you're getting like superhero like Marvel movie calls? Are you going to be a big action star next?
I'm still waiting on my superhero role. I think I just want an excuse to get in really good shape. And realistically, if I don't book like an action or superhero role, I'm not going to be that disciplined. I'll exhibit some discipline, but I'm not going to go all the way unless I like really need to. So I'm just waiting on my call, you know, to be in some type of superhero universe. That's all I want.
Okay, but so would you rather be in like Thor 9 or would you rather be in Fast and Furious 14?
Whoa. Honestly, just because I feel like Chris Hemsworth is such a perfect Thor that anyone who comes after him is just going to get endlessly shit on, I'd go Fast 14.
I think you'd be good in Fast and Furious. Wow. They could get you in good shape for that too.
And I think in Fast and Furious, you get more of these moments.
Yeah, you know, that was good.
Where you turn dramatically and the camera slides in and then you say some shit like, "Daddy's got to go to work." You know?
I think you just nailed the audition.
I just want my dramatic turn moments, you know, where you just turn over your shoulder and just say some corny shit.
Yeah. That would be good. Are you willing to get on the gear for one of these roles? Because that kind of is the secret of Hollywood. You just get on a shitload of steroids.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's a bad answer, Jimmy. I mean, the guys are execs are watching. You know, the execs of all these major, production companies. They all are AWLs. They're like, oh, so Jimmy Chatro won't get fat. He won't do steroids. This guy won't do anything.
Okay. All right. I'll do it.
Okay, good. Maybe share some with us.
Yeah, I'll do it, and I'll let you guys. I'll slip some under the table to you guys, and we'll all just be on our 10th podcast together, just all looking fucking massive.
Jacked up as hell. Yeah, we'll have the Instagram like ads and be like 10 tricks that Jimmy Tatro used to be in Fast and Furious 14, and it's like all these ridiculous workouts and really he got on steroids.
Yeah, it's like the 9 of them are things that have nothing to do with actually getting jacked. Just like every, like all these routine podcast guys that are like steps to success, wake up, cold plunge, fucking journal, affirmations, do 5,000 pushups. And I'm like, at which point are you making money? You're not doing anything. You haven't said one thing that it brings in any kind of income. They're just like, write down my goals.
Talk to my wife.
Yeah. So that's what it'll be. It'll be just affirmations, journaling, cold plunge, cold brew, steroids, and then 5 other things that don't matter.
Yeah. The best is Mark Wahlberg's secret for getting in shape. Well, besides like waking up at 2:30 in the morning every day or whatever. When he plays golf, he sprints from shot to shot. So, yeah, he plays speed golf. Like, he'll hit a shot, and then he'll run up to his next shot and then hit that one. He might be lying. The more I'm thinking about it, this might just be a big lie. But and he also has somebody else drive his clubs around for him. So he's not even carrying his own bag. He's just out there hitting shots and running up to his next one.
Can you imagine how much it would suck to play with him?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be bad. Although he'd be fast.
Yeah, there he goes.
Yeah. Golf is like meant to be a game that you get away and like relax. And he's just, how fast can I do this?
Sprinting. He's like, steps to getting in shape. Sprint on the holes. Wear municipal clothing.
That's pretty much it. And gloves when you're working out. Yeah. All right. Well, Jimmy, this has been awesome. I have one last question. Roback question. ROBACK.com. Use code TAKE for 20% off your first purchase. Q-zips, polos, hoodies. joggers, shorts, everything. Roback.com. Use promo code TAKE. Okay, the machine out this weekend. What is, like, are you going to go see it? Do you see movies that you're in? Do you watch the movie you're in?
Yeah, I watch them. A lot of people, a lot of actors don't. Like, a lot of people are uncomfortable with going and seeing their thing. I think it's helpful. Like, I see a lot of, like, when I go and watch stuff, I learn a lot about myself and my own performance. And I also just enjoy seeing it with a group of people and kind of feeling the reaction. But, like, you can, you know, when you watch your movie, you're in theater with people, you can kind of, like, you know, you can see things in your performance where you go, oh, I'm not gonna do that again, or that worked. Almost like watching game film.
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be a weird, like, out of body experience. So, like, will you actually go to a movie theater? That would be crazy.
That's honestly, it's when you're at, like, a premiere and you're expecting to see it. That's, you know, it's more like, oh, this is what we're doing here. It's when you're, like, in a movie and then you see a trailer for your movie beforehand and you're there to see something else and all of a sudden your face is on the screen. And you're like, or like when I was on a plane one time and someone was watching 22 Jump Street, like two seats in front of me, like right there. And it was the scene where I'm like running into a field goal post. And I was so tempted to just tap them and be like,
see that?
That's me.
Nailed that one.
Oh. You're watching a movie, you're watching a guy, and then you sit a tap on the shoulder, and you turn it, and it's that guy. It's like,
right. You do behind the scenes DVD commentary for
yes,
him
yes.
the entire time that he's watching it.
Yes.
What movie that you've been in has been the best movie to watch, and what movie has been the worst?
What movie has been the worst? The movie that's been the best was, honestly, this movie was, well, 22 Jump Street is probably my favorite movie that I've been in that like to watch. Like, I would recommend watching 22 Jump Street objectively. This movie, I was like very pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Like, I knew it was going to be funny. It was really funny on paper, but it's so big. It's like a really big, fun action comedy that they just, like, I want to see more movies like this. So it's I'm excited for everyone to see it. I'm excited for you guys to see it. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's like,
yeah,
I'm pumped. It's better than I thought it was going to be.
That's so mean. That's like when people see me in public and they're like, oh, you're not as fat as I thought you were.
No, you're actually, you're just dad jacked.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have a pose that I can, like, pop some muscles. It's just when I do it, like, I need to sit down and take a breather for, like, 10 minutes after. But I got it. I have it. I can flex it.
The director of this movie, his name's Peter Atencio. He, like, really took – the script was great. Like, the way they turned the story into a movie. The writer, Kevin Beagle, did a really good job of that. But what Peter was able to do like, he just really elevated the whole thing to like a level that wasn't really, it didn't feel this big on the page. And then you see it and you're like, oh fuck, he made this like a, it feels like a huge, like a massive, like a superhero movie almost.
I like it. I'm excited to watch it. And I do want to say, like, I can tell by our conversation that you actually think the Lakers are going to come back. I'm going to tell you right now, they are not. So let me be the first to just let you down as easy as possible. It's over. You might win a game. It's over.
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no way to know for sure. All we know right now at the point that this has come out is that the Lakers have begun their comeback. It's currently 1-3, and we don't know what's going to happen after this. You know, but things are looking good based on that last game. I really like
it. This is going to be great. A nice sweep. You know, the Nuggets have never had a sweep in the history of their franchise. So at least you're part of history.
They've never been in playoffs in the history of their franchise.
They've never swept a team in the history of their franchise.
Wow.
So history.
Have they ever been in the conference finals?
They have. Interesting you brought that up because it was in the bubble, which we also agreed didn't happen.
Yeah. So you memory hold it.
That's another thing that we've always disagreed on. Aren't these the same four teams that were in the bubble?
Yes. Yeah. So this one counts. The bubble didn't.
But so have you come off of your stance on the bubble not counting?
No. Because if when the Nuggets win the series, it just proves that this is the team that would have won in the bubble if there had been fans in the bubble.
It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then in the Eastern Conference, you know, we can flip it. The Eastern Conference just further proves the Heat were the better team, even though the bubble didn't count.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You see what we did.
Yeah. So if that works for you guys, you know, you roll with it. But like I said, you know, right now is that it's 1-3, and, you know, we'll see what happens in game six.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this sweep to happen. And you just, oh, man. We're going to clip this.
You're just going to put that clip.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, look what a great actor Jimmy Tatro is. He was, yeah. He convinced himself to believe or, that the Lakers
or,
had a chance.
Or is Jimmy Tatro losing his mind and just not accepting reality?
Yeah.
We have multiple ways to spin this. We're going to have a whole, we'll have a whole section of clips that just, you know, choose your own adventure. Jimmy Tatro has lost reality. All right, man. Well, thank you as always. We love having you on. We love that you're part of this show. And hopefully we see you soon.
Yeah, I'd love to see you guys soon.
All right, man.
Yeah, we'll let you know next time we're in California.
Hell yeah.
Got to see. Oh no. We'll see you when the Real Bros news comes out.
Yeah, and we want a cameo.
You guys can have your cameo. I actually have you guys in another script that I wrote.
Ooh.
So we'll talk more about that. I'll be in New York in July, so I'll hit you up.
Well, we're moving to Chicago, so then you'll come see us in Chicago. You just take a flight from New York to Chicago.
You're moving to Chicago?
Yeah, we're opening a big warehouse. You'll have to come and show us your skills because we have a whole basketball court.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Love it.
Yes, yes. Maybe we'll do like a bubble championship there.
Well, we all know who's going to win.
Yeah, Mark Titus. Who is going to be moving to Chicago as well and play to Ohio State. So that will be perfect. We'll see. All right, we want the cameos, though. I want to be in Real Bros. Even if I'm just like a dude at the skate park and you just like have to freeze it and be like, wait, was that PFT and Big Cat? That would make my world.
Okay. It's doable. It's doable.
Right. Okay, love it. All Amazing. Right, thank you, Jimmy. You're the best.
See you, Jimmy. All right. Jimmy Tatro was brought to you by Pardon My Cheesesteak. That's right. We crushed some Pardon My Cheesesteaks live on the stream. They were delicious, by the way. I had the Chipotle chicken cheesesteak. I know that other people have had Chipotle. You had the regular cheesesteak, the buffalo cheesesteak. They're all good. And if you're tired of sad, limp, and flavorless cheesesteaks, you should be craving something that will make your taste buds dance with joy and happiness. Well, look no further, my friend, because Pardon My Cheesesteak is here to save the day. Our cheesesteaks are made with the finest ingredients. Don't take our word for it. Our satisfied customers rave about the delicious menu items. I love the brownie bites, too. I love the fries. The fries somehow stay nice and crispy through the delivery process. What are you waiting for? Order now. Experience the taste sensation that is Pardon My Cheesesteak. You won't regret it unless you're on a diet. Check out our delivery-only restaurant created by Pardon My Take podcast. Enjoy delicious cheesesteaks and loaded fries from the comfort of your very own home. They're also in stadiums. Look for them around the country. They're in baseball stadiums, college football stadiums. Part of My Cheesesteak available now at partofmycheesesteak.com. You can also use Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash. And now, here's Daniel Ricciardo.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, recurring guest, third time on, is Daniel Ricciardo. We're here in Miami, F1. First of all, great to meet you in person. We interviewed your teammates. They were saying that you've been lifting a lot and your arms look jacked. Can I see real quick? Yeah. You look pretty jacked. You look pretty good.
Yeah,
I look
jacked.
So
you only do the biceps?
Yeah.
Yeah, just every morning before breakfast. Just pump out 10 curls.
Yeah.
For the girls, yeah.
So the big question, I know this has nothing to do with racing, but you went to the Met Gala and we still don't know what happens at the Met Gala. Can you tell us what happens in the Met Gala? Because, like, every year we see all these famous people dress up, then they go into this building and we don't hear anything else.
Mm.
So can you tell us what happens in the Met Gala?
Yeah, it's like this pretty dark basement down there. It's well, firstly, good to see you in the flesh.
Yes.
This is real. It's cool.
Yes.
You're beautiful as well in person.
Thank you. So, Appreciate that. Yeah.
You didn't say anything about our arms.
Yeah.
Oh, you're huge.
PFT, I think he dodged the Met Gala question because something happened. No, fucking place.
I got you, big cat. All right. So it's it's kind of cool because, well, I think that's why it's kind of nice is there's no like media in there. You're not allowed to take photos and stuff. And mostly like you're not bringing a plus one. So you're kind of forced to like mingle and just talk to people that, especially in my world, like there's not many people in there that I know I've come across before. So I really enjoy like kind of just making new friends, so to speak. So that was fun. So what happens? Everyone's kind of standing, cocktails, and you go in, sit down at your table. People are still kind of standing, moving around. It's not very formal. Like it feels formal, but it's not.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice. Like everyone's kind of just there, like moving table to table, seeing friends, people they know. It's just like a big kind of conversation. Then I'm trying to make this fast. Then like they'll have a performer go on. So Lizzo went on. She was awesome.
Okay.
Loved her.
People dancing?
Yep.
People are dancing?
Yeah, they're kind of like there at the table.
Okay, like wedding dancing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So it's a big wedding for rich, famous people.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I saw Anne Hathaway came over, introduced herself. She's a massive fan of yours.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Who's the coolest person that you met there?
Well, that moment was pretty, it was pretty funny because, well, it was cool for sure and funny because I was like looking at her waiting because she was up next to like kind of do the photo thing. And then I was like, I guess I go up next. So she was there and then she kind of looked, she's like, oh, Daniel Ricciardo. And I was like, oh, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see my face. I was probably just like this.
Yeah.
But for me, especially going there first time, I'm like, yeah, no one's going to know who I am.
Right.
And then like for her to kind of call me out, I was like, oh, this is really unexpected. So she was sweet.
So has it been weird, like having Drive to Survive, the success of the show, like have you noticed that people recognize you so much more in America now and like you're a celebrity in America? Because I'd imagine before the show, you were a lot more anonymous when you came to the States, right?
Yeah, like very anonymous. And now it's, yeah, that's, yeah, pretty much. And it's funny, I find New York is actually a place I'd probably get recognized most, like really? Around the world. And maybe it's because it's fairly international, I don't know. But yeah, New York is a place where I get noticed a lot. And yeah, even there, like at the gala, yeah, like there was like people who, even if they didn't know me, they're like, oh yeah, like, I know who you are kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, uh-huh, thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know my name.
Yeah. Did anybody ask you to do a shoey?
That's actually a great question.
Great question.
So I did, no, because I feel like I did. Oh, I was, I saw Trevor Noah and I was actually, he was really nice to me. He was like, show me the ropes. So we hung out quite a bit that night and I did a shoey with him on his show the last time I was there. So that's why I knew there was like some shoey relation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shout out Trevor.
Yeah.
Shout out Trevor. Yeah. I mean, it's been cool to see F1 grow here in the United States. And I saw an interview that you did last week where you said that you've been humbled recently. Whereas I think you said before you were a selfish driver or whatever. Don't you have to be selfish to be a driver? Isn't that kind of like a trademark of like you, if you're not selfish when you're trying to be the fastest person on the track, then what are you doing out there? Right.
Yes, true. Not wrong. I think it's, and it's kind of not to take, I mean, there's still that selfish part or element that you need. Like, absolutely. Like you can't race fully selfless.
Yeah.
you won't take those. Yeah. It's kind of, it'll take the edge away.
You can't like weigh people. Okay. Yeah. I'll let you in. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You bought me dinner last night. Yeah, sure. Yeah, pass me. Yeah. Like it's, you can't be like that. So I think, yeah, the humbled thing was like the last couple of years were a bit more of a struggle for me for sure. And it was, you know, you go through your whole career, like I'm the best and I'm invincible and this and that. And yeah, there's obviously moments where you aren't. And I think, you know, I probably had more of those moments the last couple of years. So that's where I was like, okay. It was more just an awareness as well to know that, yeah, okay, there's things I need to work on. And if I do want to truly be, call it invincible, then these are my weaknesses and that's what I have to address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in that interview too, you talked about maybe not a regret, but like maybe it was a mistake to leave Red Bull. How is that like the last few years when you left and then coming back? It's, you know, it's been a journey and it's been weird to, you know, watch the different teams and stuff. So are you like mad at yourself or are you just like, hey, this is just a learning process. This is what happens in sports.
yeah, I'm not mad at myself. You know, I think I'm kind of at that, kind of that point as well where I see things. I feel like everything happens for a reason. And I feel like these last few years all made me, you know, and it wasn't all bad. Like there were some good moments, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's kind of like it made me see things with a different kind of perspective. It made me mature, made me appreciate things in a different way. So now going back like full circle to Red Bull, and even though I'm not in a race seat at the moment, it's like, oh, like, yeah, this is the family. Like this is where, you know, I'm happy to come home to and where I feel like I truly belong. And, you know, it's like, so I don't regret it because at that time I really felt like I needed to see something else. And it's like, you know, you think, yeah, grass is always greener. And of course you're young and you're hungry and you want to just go and try and take every opportunity in front of you. But now where I'm at, I'm like, yeah, I'm so happy to be back.
It's a cool story. I mean, I think everyone has those moments in life where they, you know, take a risk, do something different. And they're like, oh, maybe this was better. So right now you're the third driver. What does that look like day to day, week to week? Like are you doing the same prep as them? Are you like doing the same schedule as them?
Yeah. So I'm like preparing all their meals in the hope that one of them is slightly tarnished.
Uh-huh.
I mean, actually, no, like I am enjoying this like little bit of time off for now. And yes, the hunger's still there, but I'm like, I'm okay with where the year's at and having this time off. And yes, watching the races, I do feel a bit like antsy and the adrenaline gets spiked, but I'm, kind of just happy being, let's say, patient. But yeah, I'm doing like all like the meetings and that, and I'm doing simulator when I'm back in the UK with the team. So like staying sharp enough, but still giving myself some time off to, yeah, just kind of reset myself.
You got
to
realize like we are the biggest backup quarterback fans in the world. Like we think that is the dream job in any sport, like all sports being the backup quarterback. So like maybe stupid because you obviously are more competitive than we are and like you have the inner drive, but seems like a sweet gig. Like I'd take that gig.
It is
hang out. Yeah. Obviously you're doing more than hang out, but backup court, like we have a Chase Daniel, a backup quarterback in America. He's thrown like, I don't know, maybe like 200 passes and he's made like $50 million.
It's in like pretty 15 good job. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Nice
job.
Gig.
But yeah. Yeah. So it's might be, you know,
it's a Daniel thing.
I know you want to get back in there. I know you want to get back in there and I want to see you back in there, but it seems like it might not be the worst year possible.
Absolutely. Like I knew kind of deep down that I needed this year off and I needed just to like step away from the sport a little bit. You know, moments last year where I was like, I can't kind of keep going through this and that. And so it was very risky in terms of a lot of people's eyes. Like if you remove yourself from the sport, then you'll never come back. Like it's such a risk. Not many drivers have kind of had a sabbatical or whatever and come back. But I knew that it was like just for me the best thing. And I already feel like kind of like lighter, fresher. I feel like re-energized. I don't know. And I think as well, I would never have given myself this perspective to see kind of from this angle with this time. So I know like if I get back in the car, I'm like, oh yeah, like why was I doing it that way? Like I would do this. And even just like, maybe it's the people around me. Yep. Do that. Cut these things out, focus on this area. So like, just with the way the season is, you just don't get the luxury of time to really have that evaluation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So deep down inside, you still feel like you're the best driver in the world, right?
There is certainly a very big part of me which still feels that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that like I'm kind of holding myself, and this is maybe like to keep that fire there, is like I still want to prove that to myself. Like I believe it, but I want to go out there and like prove it again to myself. So I'm not going to go and like blow my horn and make too much noise for now. But I feel there's certainly an element of
you
that.
Tell us when you want us to start blowing your horn. Yeah. we'll be ready to go. Uh-huh. So like you tell us like, hey, like maybe end of the year
time.
Being like, yeah, go time. Let's get the PR machine going. We'll be all over that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like you're a Bills fan. Stephon Diggs, he stayed on the field at the AFC Championship game to watch the celebration so that he would have that feeling inside him, like, I want to get better. I want to remember this feeling so that I want even more to like work harder in the offseason, overcome everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you see somebody on the podium that's on your team that's not you, you're probably thinking like, yeah, that's going to be me. That's going to be me one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly that, like what you said there is very, very accurate. Like a lot of us, I think like that. And yeah, you kind of want to put yourself in a, in a bit of like a painful situation to, yeah, give you that drive. And actually, I met Steph at the gala as well, and he was cool. We chatted a bit, and I think he's coming to the race this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
So you went to a Bills game this year, right?
Yeah.
Which
but
game
I
did you go to?
I still haven't been to Buffalo.
Okay, so you went to which
game? I went to MetLife.
Oh, that was a bad game.
Yeah, I know.
That was a really bad game.
Yeah.
So you're best friends with Josh Allen. We're best friends with Josh Allen.
Should we fight it out?
Yeah. Dude, do you want to give him a call?
Yeah.
Call him a call. Will he pick up?
On my phone?
He'll yeah, be he fine will. With
it. Yeah. 100%. He'll pick up for me.
Yeah, yeah.
He does owe us $15 million, though.
Yeah.
Really?
That impacts our friendship a little bit. Yes.
Okay.
You can actually ask him that. Be like, when are you going to pay the guys the $15 million?
Should we see if he picks up?
Yeah. Do you have the phone?
Should we see if Josh picks up?
Phone? Yeah. And if he doesn't, he'll probably pick up for me.
It's a FaceTime as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, he'll probably pick up for me, but probably not you.
Let me check.
Hopefully he picks up for you.
All right. Well, this week, Josh Allen. All right. We're good friends.
Yeah, yeah. Man, there's a lot of pressure on you.
I know he loves you guys.
There's a lot of pressure on you.
Come on, Josh.
I think he's going to pick up.
Come on, Josh. Oh, we're good. Oh, we're good. Yeah.
There he is. Let me call him real quick.
We got it.
I'll call him. No, I'll call him. He hung up on you. There we go. All right.
Hey, Josh.
My best friend.
Yeah, there it is.
That's the question, Josh.
Yeah.
Are you better friends with Daniel Ricciardo or with us?
Danny Rick.
Oh.
Hang up on him.
But that's because you owe us $15 million.
You owe them a lot of money, apparently. I don't know what's going on. Allegedly.
Allegedly. I think we have the tapes. I don't think it's alleged.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like how Tank and Ryan Garcia bet the whole fight, but like Ryan Garcia just said, "Nah, you keep your half, it's fine."
Oh, okay. All right, so you need us to just say that. Okay. All right.
I put you on the spot. Sorry, mate.
Good
to
see you,
Josh. I know you love these guys, so it's
good.
Your hair is beautiful, by the way.
I was going to say that too, Josh. Your hair's beautiful.
He's going for a big
I think your whole personality is beautiful, Josh.
Yeah. And your arm is gorgeous.
I think you guys are. I think PFT's got better hair than I do. But.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Josh.
Good, that's a fact. Yeah.
I'm growing it back.
All right, thanks,
come back,
Josh.
Season.
I'll speak to you later. Love you, dog.
He's the best.
Yeah, did you hear the Aussie accent?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give
you a mate.
Do you do an American accent?
We both admit. Sorry, I got to get this one out there. We both like. Very comfortable saying like we're each other's man crush.
Oh
yeah, wow. it's a thing.
I mean, it's hard not to love Josh Allen.
Yeah, am I speaking on behalf of three of us? Here?
Yeah, absolutely have a man crush on him. When he plays games, we'll just be like, whoa, look at him! Look at him running over people.
He's
like,
majestic.
This is so awesome.
The whole jumping over people thing.
Uh huh.
He just we call it. I don't know if you ever played like video, like Madden or video games, like football video games, but we call it smashing all the buttons, where like there'll be a few plays where he'll just smash all the buttons and it will work.
Yeah.
Like where it's just like, what is he doing? Oh, it worked out. Like,
it's like
touchdown.
It's like a spin move into a hurdle, into a jump, into a lateral
into
pass.
Into a throw, yeah.
All at once. Yeah. It's electrifying to watch.
Smashing all the buttons. So you got to get to Buffalo.
Yes. So that's, and especially the beauty of this year and having now this time off is, I'm like, I've got bucket lists that I'm ticking off. And that is one thing. I'm like, if I don't get to Buffalo this year, because if I'm on the grid again next year, it could be 5 more years down the track.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait that long. Yeah. So
we'll go with you.
Yeah.
You're going to go with you.
Yes. Because I remember you guys, I think said you were like, when I go, we're going together.
We'll go. Yeah.
Yes. We're going to get Pinto Ronda to squirt. We'll squirt ketchup on him and everything. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but. The whole video, the Bills Mafia,
Wait, what?
The tailgate's incredible.
Pinto Ron is a guy, a Bills fan. He, before every game, he gets a two hamburger buns, stands underneath a van, and then, like, we've done it before, like, five people just squirt ketchup and mustard all over him. It's the fun, yeah.
He just
How
gets
have I
covered.
Not seen this?
Yeah,
he gets covered.
We got to do that with Pinto.
And so we would be the
We squirt it all
over.
Yeah. And they have this station where you take bowling balls and you fill the bowling balls with liquor. And then you take a shot out of the bowling ball.
I think that's how
like
COVID
out of like
started.
The finger holes.
Yeah. It's
kind of gross, but kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is.
People think it was
incredible.
Wuhan. It was actually Buffalo.
Okay.
all right. So we have a present for you. I know you got to run because you got a busy schedule.
I know. I wish I could talk longer.
Yeah. So you were nice enough. You did send us a party shirt. It was. I'm not gonna lie. It was it not. Sucked. It was like it a. Sucked. It was like a cocktail hour show. It was a bad party show.
It was the one you didn't want to have make up
for. So I got. I went down to the mall downstairs.
Yeah, we should do party shirts. Ooh, that's
got you a party shirt.
That's actually great.
I think this is a pretty sick party shirt. Yeah, it is interesting.
Interesting. Is this? I feel like this is a long sleeve number.
It is. Yeah. Do you prefer short sleeve?
I don't know. Is it a party shirt if it's a long sleeve?
Well, you can tear the sleeves off.
Yeah, you could tear the sleeves off. Is this a? Am I wearing a party shirt right now?
Well, it's no, because it's not. You don't have buttons all the way down.
Oh,
that's more of like you're going golf in that shirt.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, so it's I love the. What are they called again? Are they
flamingos?
Pelicans? Flamingos. Yeah. Pelicans.
You didn't know what flamingos were called? You're so Australian, you're probably like, what is that? Is it a pink spider?
Does it kill you?
No, of course it's not Australian. Yeah, that.
Everything's a spider to you.
I feel like this is something I'd wear at a wedding. But
oh,
yeah.
That's a good
yeah,
party
a good
shirt,
party
though.
Shirt, though. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's thanks. Better than the party shirt you gave us.
I would say we both need to do some work.
Yeah.
I think you went to Kohl's and you bought like a $15 shirt off the rack and
sent
it to us.
It was like an Urban Outfitters.
I'm going to give you guys a real swanky, real obnoxious, nice one.
Okay.
Okay.
I like
And
that.
I know I've said that before, but I really need to live up to my word now.
All right. So
I
Josh like owes us $15 million. You owe us a party shirt.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
that.
One of you could swap too. Josh could give us the party shirt. You could give us $15 million. That's fine. Okay. You guys settle
okay,
it
we'll,
between
we'll
the two
we'll
of you. Yeah.
All right. Most important, sorry. Mm-hmm. When are we going to Buffalo? Do we know the schedule? What's going on?
They release schedule next week.
Yeah, okay. they did so the schedule we'll release for okay. the schedule yeah. release last week.
I really
week.
Look
Wings,
forward to this.
Wings, everything. We'll do it all.
And what alcohol are you drinking out of the bowling ball?
Of course,
bourbon.
No, I think they do like it's like a cherry liquor that they pour it for you.
Oh,
so it's a whole station. I don't think you can make demands. You okay. just drink what they put in there.
And like okay. we're Buffalo. We love Buffalo to the point like we've actually made the joke. Did you watch the Pablo Escobar show on Netflix? Maybe not.
The
either
subtitles
way.
One.
Yeah, yeah. Either yeah. way, he like when all hell broke loose and he's like, I'm going back to like home and like everyone will protect me there. We've always made the joke if like shit hits the fan, we'll just move to Buffalo and like the people of Buffalo will protect us from yeah. everyone else. That's Buffalo.
Salt
of the earth
yep.
people. Yep. So we're gonna do it.
I love it.
All right. Well, good luck rest of the season.
Thank you.
You let us know when we need to
start blowing
hit
your
the
horn.
Button.
Yeah.
We're going to hit the Daniel yep. Ricciardo button. Yeah, being like, he's back, and he's going to win them all. So sign him. You just let us know, and we're on it.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to be even more jacked by that point.
Yes. Hell yeah. Yes. Get strong as yeah. shit.
Can you get too jacked for a race car, though?
Probably.
Yeah,
but I'm not there yet. I'm okay. still
right.
pretty lame.
You got some room. All right. Well, thank you so much, man. Great to see you in person.
Likewise. You're even
man.
More beautiful. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Daniel Ricciardo is brought to you by Hims and Hers. Spring is here, and with that warm weather, it's time that you deserve to look and feel your best all the time. Thanks to our friends over at Hims, men now have simpler, more affordable access to prescriptions, products, and medical advice that they need. With Hims, you can access personalized treatments that suit your needs with a process that's 100% online, no copay, no insurance required. Say goodbye to awkward in-person appointments and video visits. If you're struggling with ED, know that you're not alone. Hims new hard mints are minty chewables customized to fit your unique needs. The mints can be compounded with the same active ingredients found in Viagra and Cialis for different dosages, and they're only available through Hims. At 4hims.com/PMT, you can access licensed medical providers and trusted treatments for ED 100% online. If prescribed, Hims will ship to you for free in discreet packaging. It's that simple. Look, we're your source for sports news and entertainment, right? Well, Hims is the place to access personalized treatment options like hard mints. Freshen up your ED medication. Go to 4hims.com/PMT. Get started today. That's 4hims.com/PMT. Only available if prescribed, subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information. Restrictions apply. Hard mints is a chewable compounded drug. The FDA does not approve compounded drugs, nor does it verify their safety or their effectiveness.
Okay, let's wrap up with some FAQs. Hank?
Yo. Hey, Dad Cat, tall PFT and no golfing Hank, false.
Ooh,
my question.
We're taping this, by the way, before the Celtics Heat game 4.
False.
So the Celtics won.
Celtics won.
Easy.
Game of your 20s.
Game of the decade.
Easy.
It's my game of my 20s.
Which decade?
Yes. My 20s.
Okay.
Which only has
my roaring
less 20s. Than 3 weeks left?
3 weeks?
Less than a week. or no, less than 3 weeks.
Yeah, you don't know when your birthday is.
Moving, no, but like, you know, moving sometimes it gets the memories going. It, you get in like a weird kind of like.
Yeah, you think your birthday's in May, it's actually in June.
Nostalgic, and I've just been like, damn, I'm almost in my 30s, and then I realized I had never loved a bet as much as I loved the Celtics tonight. So shout out to everyone that rode with me.
Yeah, Hank, I'm rooting for you. You want to know why? Because I think it'd be much, much funnier if you lost the golf bet after going down 3-1 than if you just got totally swept.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you lose your minus sign maniac parlay, you should, I don't even know what you should have to do.
I like that name for it. It's an investment, Hank. I'm getting 11% back return.
You've been hanging out with Billy too much. It's insane. Like, no. There's nothing.
Think about
that,
it.
I'm
riding with Jake. I put $10,000 on the Panthers to close it out on the P's. Go P's. And
love the P's.
Parlayed that with the Heat closing it out at some point against the Celtics. As long as they win the series. Both, they're going to win. They're going to win.
If they don't, you got to get enough. You got to run back the soul patch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even cut the hair.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And, well, that's too much because $10,000 and losing the hair.
Yeah.
Maybe I could sell the hair for $10,000 to a rich cancer patient.
Ooh.
My question with being on the internet as your career, which piece of content has been the hardest to explain to your family, friends, and loved ones? Mm. Saw a video of Big Cat kissing a dude in the lips and can only imagine that conversation with the in-laws. Thanks.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have a few, but...
Yeah, there's...
Pissing my pants.
There's a bunch to choose from.
Pissing my pants, definitely up there. My wife isn't a huge fan whenever I take off my shirt. That's just kind of... Just... Not a huge fan of me taking off my shirt on camera.
Does she like try to avoid it, but then still sees stuff?
No, she's just like, I told you I don't love it when you take off your shirt. And I'm like, well, I told you this is my job. She's like, fair. So that kind of ends that.
She's probably just like, I don't want you putting the goods out there right for other people. So that's just for me.
Yeah, it is a beacon for women to start, you know, flocking towards me whenever they see my large nipples.
Yeah, I would say probably the time dark I nipples. Probably
dark.
The time I ate,
and dark.
I ate horse shit on camera. Mm-hmm. That was a tough one to explain away. No, I'm doing this satirically. This was a bit. I was eating horse shit as a joke.
Yeah.
But I kind of had to do it. When you explain to somebody the reason why you ate horse shit was so the Capitals could win the Stanley Cup and then it happened, then it takes a little bit of the sting out of it. That visual is still going to be out there.
For the most part, I would say family is very, very supportive because you can't do this job without that. But I have
but like uncles, like in-laws, like you're at Thanksgiving. Yeah, is there ever like, hey, nah. Like I saw it, like I saw you piss your pants. Like, what was that about?
Yeah. They kind of just expect it at this point. I would say there's definitely a part of me that knows that I've talked about, safe drug use. And that will make it a little difficult when I have that conversation with my children. Cause they'll be like, don't do drugs. They'll be like, well, what about the time you said that you like to do mushrooms and coke and weed and all this? Blah, 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 blah. Like, haha, that was old me.
It
was
AI.
Yeah,
it was a bit. Don't worry about it. AI. It was a deep fake.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just like fake an injury and be like, yeah, all those drugs, that's why your dad can't walk.
The thing is, I'm pretty sure that if we're talking parents, our parents laugh at the stupid stuff you guys do. Like, my parents would laugh at the stupid stuff you guys did on camera. Your parents probably wouldn't like watching the stupid stuff, but they would laugh at the stuff that we did that was just as bad. It's just like seeing your own flesh and blood do it.
They're very supportive.
Oh, yeah. My direct family is super supportive. When I got arrested, that was like every family party for a few years was like, you got arrested? Like, for Tom? Like, what was that about? It's
Yeah, the MDMA
suspension.
The MDMA thing was tough to explain. Yeah. I had a hard time with that one.
Yeah, the drugs. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, listen, it's. You really can't do this job unless you have very support, a great support system, and I think my support system.
Mine was eating the hot dogs with no hands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Billy didn't do it. He didn't want his dad to call him gay.
Yeah. Like, you had to go deep into it saying, you know, I had 8 minutes to make my target score easier. There's a lot of explaining to do there.
Oh, since Jake talked there, the Ray Allen tweet definitely, I got hit up a few times about
Ray
that.
Allen tweet. My mother has never been more upset with anyone other than you.
Yeah, she blamed me for that?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. I'll take that. Yeah, the Ray Allen tweet did not go great. I'll say that.
My mom doesn't usually text me. When she does, it's usually like she'll send it in the context. It's like, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah.
When I said a couple weeks ago that I was going to have a baby after Hank won the lottery ball, I got a couple texts from people that I usually don't get texts from asking me what was going on with that. That was difficult.
Yeah.
That was tough to explain.
Yeah.
I will have a kid.
Yeah.
There's a hard and fast no tattoos and no motorcycles rule in my family.
It's a good thing you've never gotten a tattoo.
I got one on the bottom of my foot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you called me and said, you have to reimburse me. I was like, what?
If I can't get this off.
Why no tattoos?
It's just a thing. I don't know.
That was I did feel bad for you in that moment.
Do you have like a cousin that has tattoos and a motorcycle?
No, just people have died on motorcycles.
Oh,
I felt bad for Billy in that moment because he was very mad, but he called me and was like, you have to pay for the tattoo removal. And I was like, I literally had nothing to do with this. It was like a totally separate piece of content. He just called me and wanted to vent. But yeah, it rubbed off, right?
Yeah. Okay. I took a sandpaper. And Jesus I just rubbed Christ. It off because if they if,
what
if, no
it was on the bottom of his foot.
If any of them saw that tattoo, I'd be like shoes. Disowned. I don't know. It's just like one of those things.
For having a tattoo on the bottom of your foot,
it's just I don't know.
Okay,
what about you, Hank? Is there anything that you've done on camera that your family's been like, what's going on with this?
Yeah, a lot. I'm trying to. I mean, the
oh, you cut your finger off with a drone.
Cut the finger off with a drone. That actually is when my mom started to turn on Dave. Like, she obviously, I don't think she was the biggest fan of Dave early on, especially with how, you know, kind of mean he was to me. Like, she didn't like that, but he like took me to the hospital and was like, you know, looking after me. My mom after that was like, oh, like he was super helpful that day.
Here's one that will probably start conversations, but
telling
I had a really bad thought when I was going home last night.
Intrusive thought
PFT. The Bears and Commanders play Week 5 Thursday Night Football.
They sure do.
We should make it a tattoo bet. It's the dumbest. It will be the dumbest game ever to have a tattoo bet in.
Why would you say don't that? Have why to would you? Why right would you now? Say that out loud for the first
I know,
time on,
I know,
on a hot
I know,
mic?
I know.
This is a conversation that should have right, happened.
We'll
off
table
the air.
It. We'll table it. We'll table it. But I was just.
I mean,
what happened was I was going home and I was just laughing to myself, being like, because you know, tattoo bets kind of. They reached a peak when fantasy football got big like 15 years ago. Yeah. But to just be like, why do you have that tattoo? It's like, well, the like 6-11 Bears lost to the 5-12 Washington Commanders a Week 5 2023 season. The dumbest reason to get a tattoo. We'll table it.
I'm in.
Okay, I'm
in. I'm in. You know, we should make shirts for it going into it. Like the inaugural PMT will have a pissed off Major Tutty like yeah. facing off against a giant bear.
Yes,
that'd be sick.
Yes, tattoo bet for Week 5 Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it just means more.
I mean, it's pretty good.
I don't want to rain on your guys' parade, but I'll say this question. I'll call it foreshadowing.
Uh-oh.
For that tattoo bet.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Big Cat, PFT, Mr. Titletown, and Hank's dad, Jake.
Yes.
How is your guys' fantasy baseball league going?
Oh, good question.
We're getting closer. Every day that we wake up, we are one day closer to doing the draft.
I have to admit, I miss playing fantasy baseball. I'm a little bit bitter that the league hasn't started
yet. We're going to start it.
I should be knuckles deep in fantasy
baseball
right now.
We're going to start it. We're going to start it within the next 4 months.
If it doesn't start by the All-Star break, I'm starting my own league.
So we had the idea, and people can tell us, you know, sound off in the comments, let us know. Week of July 4th, we will have a new Dungeons & Dragons episode. Would people be upset if we just had an entire podcast that was just us doing our draft? Sound off in the comments, because I think that's what we should do. All-Star break?
Worst
just
off.
Literally have... Let's be like, all right, with the first pick, I'm taking this guy, Mike Trout, and then like, all right, PFT, you're up.
Yeah.
No visuals.
Yeah, we should do it with no reminders whatsoever of which players have been drafted.
Yeah.
And just see if we can fill out a fantasy roster just by naming current players.
It would be one of the worst episodes we've ever done, but I kind of like the idea.
Sound off in the comments.
Sound off in the comments.
Because that would be horrible.
Oh,
but
terrible. But it would get good because it's so bad.
And I think it's like if you're in a spot, you know, God willing, you're just getting shit face, having a great time for the July of the week. If you're sitting in an office somewhere, like,
yeah,
why not
doing
just
our
listen
draft.
To a,
yeah.
a baseball draft?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd just be us saying names for
yeah.
2 hours.
Correct.
Probably longer, actually.
Sup, fellas. How did Brooks Koepka get into the Blake of the Year running?
Oh, good question. So the first time we interviewed Brooks, it was right before he played at Bethpage, right?
Yes.
For the U.S. Open,
yes.
which he won.
Yes.
PGA 2019.
Yep. PGA 2019. Thank you, Jake. Very cool.
2018.
Thank you, Hank. Even cooler. Very cool.
Got him.
Owned Jake.
Bethpage
2019. Oh! Reverse
Wait,
owned.
Who got owned?
2018.
Who got owned?
So you might have done it there, but...
No.
It wasn't Shinnecock.
It wasn't.
We interviewed
Shinnecock.
Him before the
Bethpage 2019.
Oh shit, Hank!
Damn.
Oh my god! You should get tattooed.
Fuck
Hank.
You, Jake.
Sorry.
Jake is
your daddy.
Daddy. Yeah.
He's your daddy.
So we interviewed Brooks, and we were talking about his mentality for golf, and he was just saying that he kind of blacks out between holes, what, like 8 and 15 when he plays, and he was just very chill. And so in the interview, Big Cat and I looked at each other, and Big Cat goes, "I think he's a Blake.
Yeah,
I think this guy's a Blake." And so we just started calling him Blake from that point on.
And his name is close enough, and he just has, yeah, he's just a chill dude. Like, the epitome of Blakes, Blake Griffin and Blake Bortles, are two dudes that are professional athletes and make millions and millions of dollars and are better at their job than, like, 99.9% of the world, but they're also just regular dudes that are awesome to be around.
Yeah.
That's the definition of a Blake.
And Brooks was so chill last night at the Peas game.
Yeah.
Just hanging out, just being relaxed like a Blake.
Hyper chill.
It was
insanely chill.
It was Colombian night.
Yeah. Just not blinking. That's how chill he was.
This is actually another foreshadowing question. This is some crazy FAQs.
Oh, no.
Sup, father of three cat, PFT, Hank, Billy, Jake, and Max Vic. Have you had any ideas for the show?
Oh, my God.
Max Vic.
It took me a few seconds there.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's fast.
Loves
He's a game changer.
Have you had any ideas for the show?
And he murders dogs.
That you thought would be awesome.
Does not have herpes, though.
Do not murder dogs.
But ended up being a complete flop.
Wait, say it again.
Have you had any ideas for the show that you thought would be awesome, but ended up being a complete flop?
Yeah, I'd say our first idea for the show, where we decided that we would play air horns in between segments and limit the interviews to 4 good minutes.
And tape it in the morning.
Yeah, and tape it in the morning.
That lasted a week.
We interviewed Chris Long, and we didn't ask him a single question.
Our Saturday shows were, when we tried to do Saturday, Let's Get Weird, that was, we realized, hey, we already talk a lot. We don't really need to just add a Saturday show. That was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Shout out Dave Wallace, though. We gotta get him back on.
Yeah, we do have to get him back on. But yeah, I would say the first iteration of this show where we decided we were going to tape it like 8 in the morning. And yeah, that was stupid. That was very stupid of us.
I will put my hand up and say that I believe it was my idea, and I definitely advocated for doing the Blake of the Year lottery ball idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a dumb one.
That was
a dumb one.
Really bad.
Yeah, that was a really dumb
like,
one.
I was like, oh, it'll be so long, it will be funny, and it actually was beyond painful.
Mm-hmm.
Encouraging Billy to do his QB bracket every year. I actually love the QB bracket.
Yeah, no,
I fucking love the QB bracket. I love the QB bracket. I wish we could do it every day.
If you don't love the QB bracket, then you should not be listening to the show.
Yeah, I love the QB bracket. Yeah, I think that's probably the majority of them.
Jake, what about you? Say something bad about Pardon My Take. What's the worst idea we've ever had?
I didn't know you guys did Saturday morning shows.
It was like two.
I was so out on those.
It was so stupid of us. Because it was back when we were just starting. And it would fuck up our download numbers, too. Because it would be like...
I might have just made that up.
You could have. Yeah, actually, Hank might have made that up just to get us not to do it. But yeah, that was one where it was like, you know, we don't need to do this 4 times a week. We talk a lot. We talk 6 to 8 hours every single week.
Yeah, because I was like, we'll record Friday afternoons. I was like, no!
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that was the seedlings of Vacation Hank.
Mm-hmm.
This, I'll say this, and it's exciting because, you know, as long as we've been doing the show, I feel very similar to how I do in summer 2016, where it's got a fun summer in front of us, and then it's going to be an unbelievable new opportunity, and we're just going to grind.
That's true. Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, just the change of scenery, getting into a new studio, new office, like, everything has me pumped up. Yeah.
I can't
new
wait.
New life.
And it's like, but there's still some time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have a nice summer, and then we're going in.
Summer 16, it was a movie.
Yeah. It really was.
Summer 16 hit different than
changed
any other
everything.
Summer.
It did. Changed everything.
Billy's smiling because he's thinking about Donald Trump.
Both New World Order.
He's thinking of Donald Trump and Harambe wrestling.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Lottery ball numbers. Where are we, Jake? Do we have someone who's going to build us this machine that I have?
I still have to look through the submission. Because
I have it envisioned
like
in my head, and it's enormous.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
And Hank wants it to come out of the floor.
That would be sick.
That would be so sick. He's like, what if we had to come out of the floor?
That was like, it would be sick.
That would be so sick.
There's no way that's happening.
No, but it would but be so sick. It would so be sick.
Fucking yeah. sick.
Like if we had like a trap door in front
in
of
Austin
the,
Powers, like, yeah. that would that's what would happen.
Just produces one number.
You're talking about like an air pressure machine that goes underneath the floor.
Like yes. as it comes out, smoke billows out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and love then it's fog
like
machine.
Bigger than Big Cat.
Yeah, we like have like the Undertaker come out pretty much every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, congratulations to Max Homa. Better late than never.
Yeah, that was...
He got the lottery ball.
But he had gotten it already.
Yes, he has.
All right,
but
so
But, like,
yeah.
he still deserves
Yeah, he still deserves it. Yeah, yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
That was such a sad round of applause. So
you guys
sad.
Didn't join me.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Why? He won the lottery
if you're
ball.
Not, if you're not saying the number in this room, I don't count it.
Okay. I count like, everyone. Oh, I count it
I got
all.
It. I
Wait,
got
that
it
means
all.
that Max has beaten Hank.
Yes. He's tied with me. Max has beaten Hank. He's guessed the lottery ball for 3 months.
Yeah.
But he has.
But he has. Okay. Numbers. 26.
55.
I'm going to go 29.
Wait, where's Memes?
Memes is out this week, so he would guess two?
He guesses one.
We'll give him one.
Has he gotten it?
He has never gotten it.
20.
What was your guess, Hank?
29.
It's 18.
What was your guess, BFT?
55.
It's for winning my game of my decade.
Which he didn't win.
I like that game of my decade. Not the decade. That's smart.
It's not your decade. It's his decade.
Well, everyone's decade starts.
75.
Everyone's decade starts at different time.
There was no year zero.
75.
Vince Wilford.
Love you guys.
Fifth time. The dingo is a unique Australian species of dog. It's not a wild dog. It's different.
Talking away. No, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. Oh, I'm coming for your love of faith. Needless to say, I'm on sentence, but I'll keep stumbling away. Slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Say it's no better to be safe than sorry.
Ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big.